Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, new gators and grannies, to this Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia. I'm broadcasting through the facilities of ShakeAndWakeRadio.com. I'm also being simulcast on the Truth Be Told Radio Network. Welcome to the show, guys. I always start off the show with a little plug for the networks. There is absolutely no reason the people that are bringing us this content should be reaching into their pockets and funding some of the operational costs of these radio stations. So if you like what we're doing, please throw in a coffee a month. And you know what? Enough people do that, and it would really help out the people that are behind the scenes here. They are doing a good job. I always like to start the show off thanking my producer, because I always manage to forget at the end to thank Steve for what he does for me every week. Thanks, Steve. You're a blessing in my life, buddy. Today, of course, I've got back in Ron Stevens, and Ron, as you know, has been on my show many, many times over the last couple of years. I really enjoy my conversations with Ron. Pretty smart guy for an old bald-headed fart. And Ron, it's always good to have you back in here, buddy. And without that going to your head, I know there's something that's really heavy on your mind right now that you want to talk about in the beginning of the show here. Good to have you back, my friend.
Good. Actually, my hair is getting long because I can't get it cut. Everybody's wearing face masks.
Yeah, you got to be double backed now to get your hair cut.
I can't say how happy I am that the truckers are doing what they're doing, because they are in Edmonton, Calgary, London, Kitchener, Toronto, Ottawa, and hopefully they're waking people up. But you know, we all know that that COVID is just a distraction. Well, they move their agendas forward. Now, this is really interesting. The Ottawa police hire elite crisis management firm to handle protest messaging. And Navigator has a tagline, "When you can't afford to lose," is working on Ottawa police communications. Now, Navigator is a group of people, and they use the word elite, that is in every level of government, from the feds to the provincial to your local municipal governments. And these people are both on the right and the left, because they're moving the agendas. And I don't care what people say, but your politicians are just puppets. And this is just another group, Navigator, which is pulling the strings, telling them what they need to do, how they need to do it, and when they need to do it. And it's really, really unfortunate. And people need to go and look at Navigator. It's been around for 20 years. This kills me, because Jamie Watt is the executive chairman and founder of Navigator. And 20 years ago, we started Navigator with the vision of a workplace where every colleague is respected for who they are and inclusion is championed. Hmm. Okay, so Navigator's executive chairman and founder, Jamie Wipe, has been a leader in Canada's LGBTQ community and has been recognized by a number of human rights and LGBTQ organizations, including Eagle, which you need to go look up as well, and out on Bay Street. They also do Black North. "We are proud to support Black, Indigenous, and people of color-led initiatives, both internally and in our community." And these are the people who are putting these people into office, into the political offices. And these people are hooked up with the globalists, and they are moving the programs forward. And there's, I think there's 80 people here, and most of them don't look too bright. And if you look at their eyes, they look pretty psychotic. Matthew Barnes, who's a senior consultant, he was mentioned in the CBC story about the police in Ottawa hooking up with Navigator. And you need to go through these people. And the chairman of this, Jamie Watt, and, you know, I just want to give people the address for Navigator. It's NAVLTD.com, or you can just put in Jamie Watt with two T's on the end, and Navigator, and you'll bring it up. Because if you just put Navigator in, there's so much things with Navigator, you may not find what you're looking for. But Jamie Watt has been at this for a long time, and he specializes in complex public strategy issues, serving both domestic and international clients in the corporate, professional services, not-for-profit, and government sectors. Widely regarded as Canada's leading high-stakes communications strategist, he is a trusted advisor to the board of directors, businesses, and professional leaders, as well as political leaders at all three levels of government across Canada. Jamie has led groundbreaking election campaigns that have transformed politics because of their boldness and creativity. Jamie has been involved in corporate governance, education, thought leadership, and yada, 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 yada. And all of these people in this group are all either on the right or the left. An awful lot of them are on CBC, CTV, and he apparently, Jamie also writes a weekly column for the Toronto Star and is a policy magazine contributing editor. You got to go through these people, because once you go through these people, you'll realize that these people are pulling the strings of your politicians from the federal level to your local level. And these are wicked people. And people need to understand this, because if they don't understand this, they're just going to keep voting. You know, I'm on the right, I'm on the left. Well, I'm sorry to break it to you, okay? I mean, the French Revolution birthed the two-party system, which is the right and the left, as a divide-and-conquer tactic to divide our people. So they're fighting against each other while they move their agendas forward. But now, the right and the left, they're bringing them together in order to move and get across the finish line, which we cannot allow them to do. And you really need to go to Navigator and go through these people. They want to sell off our resources at discount prices. And the fact that we have 16 foreign trade zones in our country, which means they're not part of our country. So we are very close to being taken down, and we have a duty to make sure that doesn't happen. Canadians for Natural, we developed a multimedia campaign for the Canadian this makes me throw up. We developed a multimedia campaign for the Canadian global cities. Council to increase awareness of the economic issue of Canada's natural resources being sold at discounted rates.
Because we're being basically robbed of our resources.
Well, we are being robbed. And, you know, there's some videos on there, but everybody needs to go to this site, because if you don't understand the threat against our people after you've been through this site, you're never going to understand anything. Just that simple. And there's another site that's attached to this site, which I've been to before, and it's the Canadian Research Insights Council, and they have now, we support the Government of Canada's digital charter and share the view that trust is the foundation of which our digital and data-driven economy must be built.
Trust.
That's funny,
Ron.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, actually. And, you know, I had that Attorney General guy who we had a face-to-face conversation, and I took him through the history. And he agreed when we were done that Canada's nothing more than a rebranded Hudson's Bay company, because the Hudson's Bay company was a charter company. Canada's a charter company. And you might like this, Barry. I got a call from Revenue Canada the other day, and I was talking to this lady, and I said, you know, I talked to a lot of students, and the students are 100% the students I talked to understand that both climate and COVID are total frauds. And she actually agreed with me. And then I said, the reason that the price of housing is going up so high here in Canada is because we registered our houses, and they're raising the rate of our houses because it's collateral for loans. And the government of Canada, the so-called government of Canada, is just firing money out left, right, and center. Our houses are being used as collateral for the loans. And she agreed on that 100%. And that was Revenue Canada.
So should ask her how she sleeps at night.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know what the World Economic Forum said. Nobody's going to own a house, right?
Well, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy.
I don't think that's possible.
Well, that's the rhetoric we hear 24/7 from all world leaders. Now they're trying to pound us into the brains of the people.
The other thing people don't understand is that, you know, the Queen of England a knighted Klaus Schwab, who created the World Economic Forum back in 1970. And what people don't understand is that England has always been tied up with the Roman Empire. And they think England is this wonderful place. It's not. Just another player. And I really hope people take the time. You know, when you get to the Who We Are site on Navigator, just click on the pictures, and it doesn't take you very long to read what's below the pictures. And you will see that they are both on the right and the left. And they are basically the puppet masters in our country who are telling the, you know, the politicians don't know much. And these people are saying, well, we got to go this way. We got to go that way. And the politicians just do what they're told, which is unfortunate. So, anyways, you need to look at this stuff. And I'm so happy because I never heard of Navigator before until the truckers stayed in Ottawa and the cops said, well, we got to bring this elite group in to change the language of what's going on in Ottawa.
So, I'll be quite honest, that's the first I've ever heard of is when you started talking.
Yeah, I never heard of them before.
Well, yeah, this is all news to me, buddy. So definitely something we're going to have to look into.
Yeah, and when you go down through the pictures and you look at some of these people, you go, these are nutcases. They don't look normal, a lot of them. And it's all international. But there's a lot of information on this, a hell of a pile of information here. And they're in Toronto, Calgary, Edmonton, Montreal, Ottawa, Vancouver, and London, UK.
Wow. Just goes to show you how far their roots are into our society now, Ron.
Yeah.
You know, what they're doing to our rules and regulations. I mean, I tell people that, you know, one of the governing generals on the World Economic Forum is also our assistant prime minister and our minister of finance in Canada. Well, talking about a conflict of interest, when we talk about Chrystia Freeland and what kind of a player she is and her global selections. And
well, you will find
she
all
is the assistant prime minister in Canada.
You will find all of what you just said. When you go and read, when you click on the pictures of those people, it's all there. You know, everything is there. They worked, you know, one of them was working with Harris, who after Bob Rae and he appointed Maurice Strong to come in and begin the privatization of Ontario Hydro. And there's a guy in there that worked with Harris, who was privatizing Ontario Hydro. And so, yeah, it's a perfect thing of right and left all working together in this group of people.
Poor unsuspecting Canadian public has no idea what's going on, Ron.
No.
But then, of course, we have, you know, politicians like Michelle Rempel, who's working hard in Ottawa for you. But guess what, folks? She's in deep with the World Economic Forum also. If you look at the people involved and cross-reference it with our politicians in our society, you're going to fall off your chair. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, people trust, I don't know why, but people trust the politicians. And that Pierre guy is running for prime minister now. And somebody sent me a video, and the video sounds good, right? But he's a Zionist, and he didn't call out Harper when Harper said there's a loss of national sovereignty. Some people don't like it, but it's a simple reality. He didn't call out Harper when he funded the Aga Khan. He didn't call out Harper when he signed the G7 agreement to end the use of fossil fuels in our country. I wrote this to the lady that sent me the video, and she just said, thank you. He's just another player, isn't he? Yep. They're all players.
We're surrounded by players, Ron. How do we fix the situation?
Well, the only way, you know, I like what that lady sent me just before they took down my Facebook. I've been saying it for years. The Achilles heel is our communities. And that lady sent me that note from Alberta and said that our people were angry about what the council was implementing. And they went and they educated the people in their community. And when they had the election last fall, the municipal elections, she said that not one incumbent got back in. And it's just simply us changing the narrative. Once the narrative has changed and people understand what's going on, it's basically over.
Yeah. You know, this message is resonating with a lot of people now, Ron. How we take back control of our communities has to start at the municipal level. Like you said many, many times on my show, and I got to give you credit. You kind of got me thinking about this about 3 years ago when you started talking about this. Up to that point, you know, I was kind of still going along with the idea that, you know, maybe there'll become a political party in Canada that actually speaks or stands for the people. We really know that's not going to happen now. And the way, like we said, we changed this has started at a municipal level.
Yeah,
there is lots of good things I could say about one party in Canada, but the bottom line is where is the real loyalty in the party? The only thing I will say about the PPC party in Canada, Ron, is they're doing things a little differently than the rest of the parties in Canada, where one of their mandates is if they were ever to become the governing party, a party in Canada, that all major decisions in the party would be a joint decision of all people from all different constituencies in Canada. They'd approach it completely different as to how laws would be made, that all constituents in the country would have a voice in what's being done. I kind of like that idea because it gives us a little bit more chance of actually having stuff done that is the will of the people and not the will of the government. What we have right now in Canada is a very scary situation where right now I believe the government's going to ram through this Bill C-10. With Trudeau and the Liberals working together, they have 176 seats in our parliament. They basically can put a law through, and we have no recourse to stop it. That's a very scary situation, but that's the reality of Canada. We've got to change that, Ron, for sure, immediately, if we're going to have any say in what our governing bodies are doing at this particular time. They're running over us, and we have no way to stop
it. Well, they've been running over us since Canada was created, and because we don't have any authority. The people don't have any authority. And the candidates are picked by the political parties. We don't pick them, and so we don't have the only place we got is the local municipality. And Bernier, I'm not too like the odds on him becoming prime minister are about zero. And he didn't call out Harper. He didn't call out Ambrose when she became a member of the Trilateral Commission created by Rockefeller. And Jean Charest is in there. And a lot of senators are in there. A lot of media people are in there in the Trilateral Commission. He's a lawyer, which I don't have any use for lawyers because they're the liars and deceivers. I mean, who created Canada? The lawyers, liars, deceivers. The lawyers, the legal club set up in here in 1791, long time before Canada. It's about the people, not the politicians. And we, the people, have the power to say no. And that's one thing that I'm so impressed about with the convoy is they're basically just saying no.
Yeah, they are definitely drawing a line in the sand. Hey, Steve wants to ask you something here, Ron.
Actually, Ron and Barry, can I come back in 5 minutes and do that? I need to do something quick. So go ahead.
You had us all excited there, Steve.
I know it. I'll message you back in 5 minutes.
Now we're gonna have to wait. Okay, first, let's all guess what the question's gonna be. I'm kind of. Well, you know what? I think that message of taking back control at local level is really resonating in this community because I've talked to a few people that are strong conservative people that are now considering running for council in Terrace. We have a complete leftist leaning council in Terrace. We're one of the only of three communities still in British Columbia that is allowing fluoride to be put into our water. That alone, Ron, is just outrageous, but it seems like they're hell-bent on their agenda. Somebody's pockets are definitely being lined, and promoting that. Like I said, we're only one of three communities that are still fluoridating in British Columbia. I started a petition against that, Ron. And get a load of this. On our petition, we had 798 signatures of citizens in Terrace that wanted a referendum on the practice of adding fluoride to our drinking water. The council came back. Get a good old list. But the council came back and said, well, we're not going to recognize this unless we get 1,000 signatures. And you know what? When they did this, I was supposed to get notice of when they were going to come and argue. Northern Health was going to present their side of the story. I was supposed to give a notice of it. They never gave me a notice. All of a sudden, I hear that they passed all these things in a meeting. I wasn't even there, and I wasn't privy to the fact that they were having this meeting. So I raised a bunch of crap about that, and they said, you know what? We're not going to look at this issue again. It's a settled issue. That's what we're dealing with in Terrace. It is a communist dictatorship.
Right. The CAOs are specifically trained to implement the agendas, and they do it in such a way that most of the council don't even know what the hell's going on, and they vote for it. And if someone in the council stands up and speaks out, they're going to get reprimanded.
Yeah, well, and, the only thing that is if three or four of them stand up and speak out.
Well, yeah. And but I had a lady from Ontario on my show last week, I guess, and it's she's a holistic health education person, and it's called Yummy Doctor, and we had a really good chat, but I said, you know, we really don't have a healthcare system, do we? Because if we had a healthcare system, the healthcare people would be screaming at the top of their lungs that all of our food has been filled with toxins and our water has been filled with toxins, fluoride, and they don't speak up about it.
Why aren't they speaking up?
So we don't really have a healthcare system because you get sick from the toxins you're eating. And then you go to the doctor, and he gives you a prescription.
Yoo-hoo.
Our newest drug. But, Ron, listen, we tested it for 3 weeks, so we know it's safe, okay?
Yeah.
So we're going to give it to you guys now. No problem. 3 weeks we tested it. Oh, who did the testing? Oh, the company that produces the drug. Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Who thinks this shit up, man? Excuse my language, guys. Who thinks this poop up, Ron? It's true, though. I mean, they don't want to heal you, Ron. There isn't a prescription drug in the world that actually heals the body. That I defy anybody to prove me wrong on that statement. And every prescription drug made has an analytical in it, and those toxins store, guess what, in body fat. So the most susceptible people to the effects of toxins are people that are obese. Well, we just happen to be the most obese nations in the world. Great place for those toxins to get together and have a party, eh, buddy? And they do. And then you throw a few more toxins in there on your newest and latest prescription, and they don't like the ones that are in there already, so they have a little bit of a war. You start getting a little sick. You go back to the doctor. He gives you the newest and latest.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. And people go, okay, that's great, doctor. I'll try that one now.
Well, I wish everybody would go get a copy of the book, which was, I think, published in 2005, I think. And the wife of this guy told her husband that their daughter had been poisoned by fluoride because she had fluorosis, and he didn't believe it, and she just kept hammering him with information. And I loved it. On page 5, he said, "My wife has shoved so much information at me that my indoctrination is now gone. I'm no longer indoctrinated." And they wrote a book. And they have all the toxins in the book. And they got all kinds of things at the bottom of the pages of where they got the information from. And, you know, we did, people didn't have autism. People didn't have dementia, you know, and all of this stuff. And they go through a lot of things and explain to you that the government is not working for the safety of the people. They're working for the corporations.
Of course. They're controlled by the corporations.
They have exactly, exactly.
The lobbying power of big pharma is unbelievable.
And we need to get back to drinking real water and eating real food that is not poisoned. Now, I don't know if I said this before, but I took my mom up to her brother's 90th birthday and in Quebec, and I couldn't believe it. You know, I was having problems from MSG, and my heart, my chest would all lock up if I ate this MSG crap. And when we went up there, we had it. The party was at a community hall, and there was a ton of people there. And when I went to get dinner, the guy says, "You want some meatballs? Or you want this? Or you want that?" And I said, "No, I don't want it. I gotta drive back home 7.5 hours tomorrow morning, and I don't want to get sick tonight." And he said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Well, you know, the toxins in the food and that, and the vaccines and all that rest of that crap." And he says, "Everything here is 100% clean, okay? None of the animals have been vaccinated. There's no sprays on the field, okay? And so on and so forth." So I grabbed a whole big plate of meat and went over to where my uncle was and his workers, and they were all in their 80s, and he was 90, and they were eating salad. And I said, "What are you doing?" And they said, "We're not eating that shit." And because they told me that when they go in the grocery store, they can smell the crap coming out of the meat. And they ain't eating it. And once I told them that this is all grass-fed meat, no toxins, no vaccines or nothing, they jumped up and they took off and they came back with a huge plate of meat and all happy, because they know that you know, they were alive before the toxins were put into the food, and they don't want nothing to do with that stuff because it makes you sick. And,
well, you look at all these self-sufficient societies in our country right now that aren't exposing their kids to vaccines or toxins, that are growing all their own food, are making sure that they're getting good, healthy food into their societies. They have no sicknesses. They have no diseases.
This is the thing. No, like,
well, once we have, that says it all, doesn't it, Ron? I mean, come on.
Yeah, it does. Like, once we have hold of our communities, okay, then we can grow real food again.
Well, we're going to have to detox the soil first, Ron, and we have a way of doing that. And we all know about that, and I talk about it many times, how we have to detoxify our soil, because for years and years and years, you know and I know that they've been spraying potassium, iodide, mercury distillate, beryllium, strontium, all these other neat chemicals in our sky to deflect the heat of the sun. Isn't that great? Wait a second. These are all metal-based contaminants that are going to end up, well, in your food, in your soil, in your animals, in your lungs. I mean, they've been doing this for us for years now, spraying us like rats. Why are we allowing that to go on, folks?
Yeah.
Why?
And that statement from Kissinger, control the food, control the people.
It's so true. They're developing strains that are going to be able to grow in these toxic environments that they're creating. And real food will be a thing of the past. Well, of course, that'll make everybody a lot more sicker, won't it, Ron? And we can sell them some new drugs.
Yeah.
We got this figured out. And you guys are just guinea pigs. Thanks a lot for being here. We're going to take as much money out of your body as we can before you leave this planet. You're going to suffer and have a terrible life where you're bent to big farming, that we're going to own your body. And they start that very young with kids. As soon as they got Ritalin into the child at 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 years old, they've got that child for life.
Can I jump?
I have a family member that's as an example of that, Ron.
Well, that Ritalin stuff.
She was subjected to Ritalin, and I screamed about it. I'm not going to talk a lot about it, but I've seen firsthand the effects of long-term Ritalin use in a youth. And well, if you take a child and give it to them for 5 or 6 years, what you end up with is a child that has permanent mental problems. There, a lot of them end up on mental disabilities, can't function in society. And we could, there's literally folks, if you go look into it, there's thousands of cases like that out there.
Can I jump in there now?
In
that book, The Slow Poisoning of America, which has all kinds of stuff from Canada in it, they put in all the detrimental things of Ritalin to the child. It's this is a huge, long list of damage to the child.
Yeah.
And we can't have that. And, you know, on the front of the book, they have an American flag and a Canadian flag draped over a tombstone. And the books, I think the book's only $8.95 or something, but I wish everybody would grab a copy of that and read it. Because once you read that, you understand that the government is not looking out for your health. Okay? And once you understand that the government is working for the companies who are poisoning you to make you sick so they can make more money off of you through the pharmaceuticals.
Big Pharma rules the world, Ron.
We know
that. Steve wants to get in there for a second now. Steve, what do you want to say, buddy?
Ron, have you ever heard of Romney Stewart? He's an Australian.
I'm not sure.
He has a YouTube. Well, his YouTube is probably just about banned right now. But he was on YouTube for a few years, and I think he's doing stuff on Rumble and BitChute now. But it's called Justinian Deception. What he and two or three other people found out a few months back is Australia is not what Australia is anymore. There's a small island off of Australia called Norfolk Island. What the lawyers did is they legally got Australia changed. I mean, Norfolk Island to Australia. So what that means is everybody that participates in something from Australia, in air quotations, that's the corporate entity, the fictional entity. And one has to live on this Norfolk Island to be an Australian. That's how they're getting around it over there. I'm sure there has to be some sort of a way that they're doing it in Canada and America and all over the world for that fact.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's they're just taking everything that we created and built and taking it and privatizing it so that they have complete control over everything. We have control over nothing. And we can't allow that to happen. You know, I have a thing on my Facebook, which I can't get into now, but I have a thing on my Facebook from Australia, and it's a lady. I put this up a long time ago. And it was a lady explaining what has happened to Australia. And let's see if I can just dig this out real quick here. End of property rights in Australia and the rest of the world. And it's gotten a hell of a pile of hits. And she did a really good job. This was 11 years ago I put it up. And so, you know, we have to, that's what I'm saying. You know, our only hope is to educate the people in our communities. Because once the people in our communities understand the threat to their children and their grandchildren, if anything's going to wake those people up, that's what's going to wake them up. That the government is a threat to their children.
Yeah, that's a really hard pill for a lot of people to swallow, Ron. It really
They can't accept it.
A lot of people just cannot accept that thought.
Well, I have
been against them.
I actually have students now telling me that they are trying to educate their parents.
Hey, I like the idea. Now the kids, all the kids in Canada are telling the government they're not going to put their masks on anymore. You see that?
Yeah.
You see the movement that started, Ron? It's going right across the country. It's going viral. They're all sick of it. Why are we wearing these stupid things on our faces? Show me some justification. Show me some reason that validates your argument to put these diapers on our face. Kids are waking up in droves. It's really cool to see, folks.
Well, it really is. I'm so happy.
They're being inspired by this convoy, Ron, is what's happening. It's all of a sudden, people in Canada, folks, and if anybody really isn't paying a close attention to this, what we're seeing, people all of a sudden getting rid of the fear virus out of their lives. It's being taken off their shoulders because they are now joined by literally millions of other Canadians that are all of a sudden coming out in one voice going, hey, this is really wrong. Everything about this, no matter what aspect of what you've done to us in the last 2 years we talk about, none of it is correct. And it's got to come to a stop. And what I'm seeing in Ottawa right now is a group of people that aren't going to go away. That they're there until at least their concerns are addressed by the government. But of course, where is Justin right now? Hiding under Margaret's skirt. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. He used to do that when he was a kid, apparently. That's what I read. That when he got in trouble, he'd go hide under Mommy's skirt.
I mean,
Justin, you're a little bit big to get under that skirt now, dear, but we'll work something out.
We'll
play pretend.
I don't know how you were in school, but I always ask questions and always challenge my teachers.
I
always looked at my fellow students, and they seemed so meek. I couldn't understand why they were so meek. And, I've been trying to talk to people forever. And just in 2018, when we did that, all candidates meeting at the high school, and I got off the stage, and the students were all high fiving me, and I was so disgusted by some of the stuff they were telling me that they told me that when they questioned their teachers, they were sent to the mental health clinic and put on drugs. And I was talking to a guy about 16 years old. About 3 weeks ago, and I just ran that by him, and he said, that's amazing. I went, why? And he said, I had a friend 2 weeks ago who was questioning the teachers, and he was sent to the mental health clinic put on drugs. Now, why would we allow this?
Why are they getting away with that, Ron?
Exactly. But the point is that the students, the young people, they're awake. But they're concerned because they don't have the capacity to vote for anything or anybody. They're very, very concerned about their future. And they know that this is the richest country in the world. And they don't like the idea of people living in tents and all the rest of this nonsense. So we just have – it's not difficult to – educate the people. And I find people here in my little town now, I went to get a coffee and a lady I know who used to wear a mask, and she turned around and I said, oh, look at this. I'm looking at a face. And we had a little talk outside. And she told me that she has not talked to her mother in a month and a half because her mother is so ingrained and indoctrinated into this nonsense that she can't deal with it. And I have two sisters who are completely off the charts because they wear masks, they got vaxxed. But my youngest sister, who cares about her daughter and her grandkids, she gets it finally.
Yeah.
And, it's splitting families up and whatnot.
Designed to do that, Ron.
Well, it's always about division.
Of course it is. This is the most divisive prime minister in history.
Yeah.
Everything he does is divide.
Yeah, and but I do believe that we have the capacity to educate the people in our communities if we write the right stuff. You know, without being angry or any of that stuff, just write the right stuff and give it to them. And I have to do that, and I'm going to print a bunch of it and give it to the students. So go hand it out to people. You know, and I was just talking to a guy who was late 60s, early 70s the other day, and I said, you realize we're at war? And he said, absolutely, we're at war. And, you know, I said, you realize Canada's just a rebrand of Hudson? Yes, he said, I understand that too. So people are beginning to wake. It's taken a long, long time. But,
well, we've been banging our heads against the wall now for 2 years, Ron, trying to get this through to people. Yeah. And all of a sudden we are seeing, I think we're seeing one of the biggest mass awakenings we've ever seen in Canadian history. And I'm saying that based on the response I'm seeing across the country. Because what's happening, my friend, is people all of a sudden are starting to ask questions. And they're not scared to ask these questions. They're starting to go down some of these rabbit holes that everybody talks to them about. And I mean, I've seen that even in my group, little group that I talk to in the morning. I call them the nails, okay? For 2 years, I've been talking to them. It's like talking to a nail. Doesn't matter how much information you give them. They just absolutely refuse to believe that their government could ever be doing something nefarious against the best wishes of their country and the future of their country. They just cannot swallow that pill. But now I see them starting to swallow it. Actually, there's two in the group now that are awake, and now they're challenging the other guys. So it's pretty funny to see, actually. It is.
The ticket is those who see and know have an obligation
to share our knowledge.
Wake the others.
We can't shut up. We can't. Knowing what we know, we can't shut up, Ron. You know that. Because to shut up would just be putting or allowing this to perpetrate in our society. We still have an opportunity to stop this. I honestly believe that. The window's getting smaller, but I know you'll agree with me too, Ron, that the window is getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
Say, Barry.
That a complete takeover of our society is a possibility. Yes, Steve.
I don't want to say need to do this, but actually, I will say it. You need to do this. You need to stop calling it government and start calling them criminal corporations or cartels.
Criminals posing as politicians, okay?
This is exactly what Steve just said. This is exactly what I tell the people in my town. Your municipality, the administration, and your council are a criminal organization.
Well, the whole country's gone criminal.
And they're harming the people, and it's against the law to cause harm. Therefore, they're guilty. And
I don't believe there's any level of government in this country that's actually working for the people. The highest levels of all these government
agencies, no level.
They're all corrupt. They're all corrupt. Every one of them.
Yes.
So the whole system has to be flushed. We know that.
Yeah.
Because you can't fix broken. Go ahead.
Well, that's what I say. But once we have a hold of the because this is all about the legal club. And once we have a hold of our community, then we can unincorporate our community. And now we're back to law, meaning that the legal has no authority whatsoever in your community, period.
Absolutely.
And once that's done, we own our country again.
Well, you know what, Ron? This hour has gone by, believe it or not, but we got a little bit of a late start here. Sorry about that, folks. But I've only got a couple more minutes here with you, so I'll get you to share a few last thoughts with people where they can find you if you want them to follow you, and we'll have to carry on this conversation sometime in the near future, my friend.
Well, I'm working on a website right now, and I'm going to call it Canada Truth News. And I got to get that up. And but if you can send Steve the link I sent you for my Skype, I really want to hook up with him.
Okay, I could do that.
I appreciate that very, very much. And, you know, you got a good audience. And, you know, between you and Steve, you're really good guys. And you understand what's going on, which is brilliant because, like you said, so many people just are blind.
And, hypnotized, Ron.
Actually, I'm going to send you a video from a guy from England who moved to Spain, who did a show, or he did a song about the TV, and about the vaccines and all the rest of the crap. And it's actually quite good because, you know, he was asleep most of his life, and then he woke up. And he's put out some pretty good tunes.
So, okay, well, Ron, I'm going to have to let you go, my friend.
Okay.
Always great talking with you. And
yeah, I hope people go to Navigator and look it up. And
thanks for coming in.
Yeah, I so much appreciate this, and I want to get out to BC again because we haven't been out there for a long time.
Okay, hurry up. We'll take you fishing.
Okay.
Okay.
You guys take care and have a great day.
Okay, thanks, Ron. We're going to be back with Kellyanne Wolfe and Chris Skye in the next hour. They're going to talk about on-the-ground reports from what's going on in Ottawa. Hang around, guys. It should be a pretty lively hour coming up. Back in a couple minutes. Well, welcome back, Second Hour. Thanks, Ron, for coming in. Always great talking with Ron. You know, folks, we have one of the biggest ground roots movement in history forming in Canada and around the world right now. And I am joined here in the Second Hour by Kellyanne Wolf. Kelly's been on the ground, boots on the ground right from the start of this, and she has got a lot to tell us about. What exactly is going on in Ottawa, the energy, the feelings, the people that are getting together. I am so envious because I would love to be there, Kelly, and boy, stranger things have happened. Welcome to the show, Kelly. Always great to have you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. So it's always a pleasure to come on here, my big brother. So I'm going to do whatever I can to get you here too. I'm still working on that. I just got my hands super, super full. When I got here 9 days ago, I took a walk down Wellington where all the trucks were parked, and I literally jumped out of the car from my team and I told them I'll be back. And I did a 45-minute walk down the strip, hearing these trucks honk their horns and having some of the truckers jump out and say hello to me and that knew me. And I was crying my face off. I cannot tell you the validation and the justification I feel in how strongly I have stood my ground as a proud Canadian tribal woman. And I am extremely proud of our country. You know, to see everybody pulling in the way, these truckers, they broke it. They broke the fence. They broke the chain lock. And I've been saying it for 2 years that the entire world is looking at Canada for a solution. And now you see what's happening is this is echoing across the entire planet. You've got truckers rising up in every single country on earth. And, you know, and this government is so ridiculous and so corrupt, they have no intention of backing down. They are trying to cause extreme division right now within everybody, from our First Nations to our Canadians. They put provocateurs out with Nazi flags everywhere in order to provide their mainstream narrative with some sort of validation. And it's absolutely absurd. You've got people feeding everybody out here for free. People are coming here. They're literally, we've got the Sikh organization, Sikhs for Freedom, and they've got these massive rice pots with curry and stuff, and they're serving it for free to anybody. You got heating tents put up everywhere. People are putting, you know, barrel fires, and we just set up right on the corner of Metcalf and I'm not sure what this other street is, but it's like one of the main intersections when you're walking up towards the hill.
Hockey and nets.
Game On Canada's out there playing hockey with the kids. You've got hugs over masks. And I'm very proud that about 2 weeks ago, my core team and I just reunited. And after about a year and a half, the Line Canada has come back together and we've already risen around the whole world. Now, just to explain a bit about that, everybody knows the symbol. It's a black circle with a red slash through it. This is the symbol of the people, not the politics. And I got to tell you guys, there's a lot of politics happening here right now. You've got organizing groups that are coming in with political ambitions that are doing malicious things in order to cause division, and fully out of their own self-importance and their own, you know, political ambitions. And it's ridiculous. And there's a lot of people trying to paint me for some reason. I don't know why. I'm only 5'4". I'm not that dangerous, you know, but they're trying to paint all the stuff that they're doing on me. And it's ridiculous. Like, for instance, there was one person who was trying to say that I was at fault for some a First Nation ceremony that happened. I wasn't even in the city at that time. I had to go back to Toronto to prepare to help our teams down there prepare to receive the truckers at Queen's Park. So I was gone for about 3-4 days, but I guess these people didn't know and they were looking for someone to blame. So they tried to put it on my shoulders, but it's pretty much blown up in their face already. But, and then I've got, you know, other people, organizing people that I've worked with in the past and I've split with, and I'll just say it. So James Bowder is trying to tell my First Nations, mothers who had adopted me that I was part of Trudeau's caucus. Can you imagine me, Barry, being part of Trudeau's caucus ever? Like, I've been, I think, my entire life for the last 3 years almost, because prior to COVID happening, I had a very strong public reputation. I was campaigning for, at first, Maxime Bernier for the CPC leadership, and then I jumped on board with Andrew Scheer's campaign. So I've had, you know, 22 years of civil rights. People know who I am, and I've been a political strategist for those 22 years as well, because of course, I'm going to try and do whatever I can to help the people get what they need. And at this point, I think it's really time for a real solution, because right here in Ottawa, I mean, yes, everybody's here and this is beautiful. And it is. It's so uplifting, and the love that's going everywhere and the help and the aid, it really represents what we are as Canadians. But what is the end game? Nobody has implemented any end game.
That's it.
So we've got it. So the Line Canada next week are going to be launching a special page with a draft constitution. And we are going to be collecting digital signatures, and we're going to need all hands on deck for this. Because if we can receive 38 signatures in just one province onto this draft, then we can have our military step in as an interim government, and constitutional conventions will take place across the entire country. And the people will take power over our government. The de facto corporation will be dismissed by international law and our laws, and we can start planning a brand new structure. And I think that what that should look like should be a representative parliament, where the governing force is the people, where the civilian oversight committees are entered into parliament on every level of government, and the people get their say, where we eliminate the electoral voting process, we go back 100% to the popular vote, we eliminate partisan politics, we have everybody who's going to run for parliament run as independents so that they get elected on their servitude, their competence, and their qualifications. No more lobbying, because that's the biggest part of the problem when you let these corporations come in and make the rules.
Well, of course.
They care about profit. They don't care about life. And they care about getting access to our resources. And that's just not going to happen.
Well, it's about time it came to a stop, because they've been plundering this country for years and years and years, and basically just stealing our resource. We're the most rich resource country in the world, and we're being plundered, and governments are standing by watching it going on and supporting it. So that's got to come to a stop. You know what, Kelly? The whole system in Canada is corrupt from top to bottom. My one question, my only concern is right now that the governments are all being put under the microscope now, that what we're seeing around the world is data coming out. In every country that you want to look at now, the data that is coming forward, the governments can no longer hide this from the people, that the data that's coming out absolutely slams any government narrative. It just does not have anything to stand on anymore. They know that, Kelly, and they're starting to run scared. How many countries here in Europe in the last couple of days have announced they're dropping all of the restrictions? I mean, Denmark, Norway, Sweden, Finland, the United Kingdom, Switzerland. There's a couple others
that's
in there.
Well,
you know why they're doing that, Kelly? I'll get your thoughts on this. It's because I believe that the pressure of the international courts is now being felt by leaders around the world. And a lot of people don't know what's going on with international courts. But go ahead.
There's such a miscomprehension when it comes to international court. Like people are also looking, like the World Economic Forum is a lobbying entity, and it's completely separate from the international court and the United Nations. So and there's a confusion with that, and they do this intentionally in order to cause the people to rise against the United Nations as a whole. But the truth is this: international law trumps all law. That was the whole purpose of creating international court, was to give the people remedy where they cannot find in any other way. So exactly. You know, and we're going to be doing this in international court. So what I'm going to suggest to all of your listeners right now is to immediately go on to thelinecanada.com and subscribe. So over the next 2 weeks, we're going to be rolling out this plan for all Canadians, and we need everybody's help. We need everybody to spread the word. We need everybody to talk about it. We're going to be putting out videos so that everybody can comprehend exactly what it says in the draft constitution, which, by the way, is not written in language that can be, you know, interpreted in multiple ways. It's written in very simple language, and it's very to the point, because what we see happening right now in our society is we see legislation, which is not law, okay, but is a de facto law. Now, let me describe this. So you have in Canada, we have a de facto government. And if you define de facto means to practice or act in the like thereof. So that's what legislation is. It's not laws. They are rules of a society that practice or act in the like of law. But they're not actual laws. These mandates have never been laws. And this is why United, like United Noncompliance, is absolutely lawful, and they could never shut us down. So, and this is the problem, is they keep this sort of education, which is absolutely fundamental to the, you know, to the development of any society, and to the defense of civil liberties and individual liberties, of which is the fabric our nation is built on, supposed to be, but it's not. We live in a holographic simulation, and this is, it's just not as mystical as you think. So, you know, and that's the truth. And what the government is trying to do is they're trying to force the jurisdiction of legislation, which is not law, over the rule of law. And we're not having it. We're not having it. Our laws exist to protect our individual liberties. And without our individual liberties, we cannot have the opportunity to create and adapt and evolve. And that which cannot adapt and evolve will perish and die. That's the law. That's God's law. You know what I mean? That's the law of nature and the nature of all things, which is God. So, you know, and our laws are built upon the structure of our sovereignty, of our divinity as individuals that should be free to breathe, live, and have every opportunity and live in abundance. You know, and to break a law, you would have to infringe upon the life, liberty, security, or property of another. And if you do so, then you end up in criminal court, and you either, you know, prove your innocence or take your punishment, which is always going to be either a jail sentence or a suspended jail sentence, because that's what you get when you commit a crime. But when you commit a violation to an act of legislation because it is not law, you end up with a fine instead. So it's we have an education system, a package that we're putting together right now that we're going to be distributing on theline.com as well, on thelinecanada.com, so that we're breaking it all down into layman's terms, and we're going to show you how, like, where to look up words. For instance, the word person, if you look it up in a legal dictionary, a person means a corporation or an entity that cannot take responsibility for itself. So when an officer pulls you over and asks you if you have any identification on your person, the second that you hand him that identification, you're saying, yes, I can't manage myself. I can't take responsibility, so I need you to. And that is his job or her job. So this system is the most manipulative and malicious system. And people don't realize it. And although we have lived, you know, with what seemed to be a lot of civil liberties, the truth is this, it's been a bubble that they can pop at any single time, and they did, and we're not having it. So it is time for us to take responsibility in every aspect. And that means having the ability to respond and act in a very responsible manner. Like right now, I heard that they just called a declaration of emergency. I am interested to see what our Canadian military does, because I'll tell you, over the last 2 years, I've met with some heavy hitters in our military, and they stand with the people. And they did that litmus test in the beginning of the COVID in 2020, and they asked multiple choice questions to our military. In this scenario, would you take your orders? Would you stand on the side of the people? And 97.7% of our soldiers said they will stand with the people. So I'm very interested to see, you know, if the military does show up here. And if they do, I'm going to, and if any of you are listening to me, I'm going to encourage you right now to stand with your people, because it will change the course of history. We will change the future for the better. We could end wars. Right now, we have to set this example. No person out there should have to lose their life in order to save another. No person. We need to stand for one another. We need to learn to respect our differences. You know, you've got, you know, and I said this with respect to one of my First Nations mothers who I love so much. I said, how am I supposed to respect my elders when my elders can't even respect one another? We have to, our actions are everything. We must define principles and then stand on them, period. 95% of our population has never defined their own principles. They have parroted the principles of others. Every Canadian out there needs to, right now, decide, do you like corn or do you not? You don't like it when it's got butter and salt on it. It's the butter and salt, not the corn. You have to define who you are. And you have to stand on it. And you have to respect other people that do not stand on those same principles as well. As long as they don't infringe upon the life, liberty, security, or property of anyone else, then they have the right to be whoever they are.
Well, we see all the divisions in our society, and we see the divisions that this prime minister has brought into our society in the short 6 years that he's had control of this country. People really do, like you said, people have to identify those divisions and put them aside, because they are just what I said they are. They're a division. They're meant to keep us apart so that we don't focus on the real enemy, and the real enemy is in our parliaments. The enemy is inside the gates. We're in a war right now. And you know what, Kelly? I can say honestly that I think Canadians are really starting to get it. And I said that because of what's going on. Go right ahead.
I
do see a shift.
To everyone in the listeners out there, please hear me. So this government is prepared for you to get radical. They're prepared for your anger. They're prepared for occupation. What they're not prepared for is for you to walk away. It's for you to walk up. I would like to see thousands of people in every single province go up to their legislative buildings and cut their SIN numbers and birth certificates in half, drop it at the door. You want to see them move quick? You want to see them come to the table tomorrow? Do it today. 100 people alone in every province that did this, you will shake them to the core. You know what they're not prepared for? They're not prepared for you to mock them. Make Build-A-Bears outside, big ones with sucky thumbs. You know what I mean? Mock them.
Yep.
They're a joke.
I'm going to get your thought on something else too here, Kelly, while I got you here. Anytime in history a government has started losing control of society, where their narrative is being challenged, their narrative is falling apart, and we could talk about multiple instances in history where that has happened in government. What does the government do? They unleash a false flag on society. I've been thinking and talking about this a lot, because I honestly believe that's in their toolbox right now, that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that their narrative is starting to fall apart. We see it all around the world. And when an animal is wounded and his back is put up against the wall, Kelly, he'll come out and do just about anything. And they've used false flags effectively many times in history to bring society back into control. I'm just saying that's a real possible scenario right now. I honestly.
Oh, we've had it. We've been dealing with it all along.
I'm talking about a major false flag attack that will shake the whole country. And nothing is out of the realm of possibilities. We know what they did in New York. We know what they've done in the Gulf of Tonkin incident, Pearl Harbor. All the false flags they pulled on the American people and how that's affected society. I'm just saying a major false flag could be in the offing. And I'm not a fearmonger. I just study history a lot. And I know that when societies, governments get into these kind of problems that our governments are now seeing, because people are really questioning it, doctors are coming out in droves, that is a possibility. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying
I got to tell you this. So when I got involved in civil rights 22 years ago, okay, it is not beyond me at all. I have seen some of the most malicious, disgusting psyops and false flags happen. I've been all through the Middle East. I've been through Afghanistan, through India. I've been down to Palestine. I've been just outside of the Gaza Strip. I have seen the most disgusting acts of false flags that you would ever that you could even imagine. And so I know what I'm in here for. And so what I would suggest to all the people out there, if you see any radical behavior, do not participate. Do not interfere. Whip out your cameras and back away slowly. That is the best possible thing for you to do, and go live immediately. Live, live, live. Let everybody know what's happening. But I'll tell you, it's expected. And with just the fact of Justin Trudeau himself being a child molester and a rapist, they say a serial sexual predator, nothing's beyond him. Nothing. And I'll say that right now. I mean, this country, Canada, is a breeding ground for blue-collar international crime. It is. And it's welcomed here because how do you think these politicians that are supposed to be getting paid like $230,000 a year to $500,000 a year are walking away with $8 million, $9 million, $20 million after their terms? Because they're selling you out. It is time for us, the people, to rise, not the politics. So I respect, like, Pierre Poilievre just made his announcement. You know, that he's going to be running for prime minister. Well, I just made an announcement to him, and I called him out, and I said, guess what? constitutional conventions, the removal of the crown, or no deal. Call me. That's exactly what I said. It's posted on my Facebook. Everybody can go and look for themselves. And I know Pierre pretty well, and I have so much respect for that man. And I do believe that he does have it within him to run this country properly. He's a genius. Except he needs to right now look at his life and decide if he's going to be a person that practices law or if he's going to be a master of his craft.
So what do you think him running as comes down to? Him running as an independent, you think him running as an independent would be a good option right now?
If he ran as an independent, I swear, solemnly declare right now that I would make sure that the 70% of the population that we now have in full support would stand behind him, and it would be a no-brainer. I would personally dedicate my life to that.
Yeah, well, I'll agree with what you just said there, Kelly, because I've listened to him talk for years and years and years. He's a very, very intelligent man, and he gets it, knows what's going on, but his political affiliation is something that speaks loud. And if he was willing to deny that and step forward and actually run as an independent with a completely different platform for the people, you would see him, it would be a landslide in the country. But he'd have to get rid of the affiliation with concern. Well, we should all be putting that forward to him, because I believe that he does have the ability, even though we all talk about politicians, we talk about them all the time, Kelly. You know, a politician is a politician. But what you said there a couple of minutes ago, I've listened to him talk a lot. And I honestly think inside there's a very good man there that's tied up in a
system
that he needs just to pull away from it, Kelly. There's a lot of good people out there, but they're starting to have the courage to come forward. We're starting to see that. And it's a really cool thing.
With the Canadian Democratic Defense Association, I've got well over 600 backbenchers that have already contracted in to work with me. So, and that's you know, I just partnered up with the Line Canada 100%, and we're going to move forward on this, because this is about the people, not the politics. And if we're going to create a new society built on the principles of individual liberty, then I would suggest to all your viewers out there to contact Pierre and tell him to get in touch with Kellyanne Wolfe, because we will make it happen. But these partisan politics have to go. They don't serve us. So, you know, these parties serve their own constitutions and not the one that's supposed to represent us. They swear an oath to the crown and not to the people. Yep. If Pierre Poilievre is prepared to swear an oath to the people and run as an independent and help us build constitutional conventions that will serve the next several generations of our kids and defend and give them the full authority and supreme authority without exception over their freedoms and their individual liberties, I will 100% guarantee his wit.
Well, you know, Kelly, radical times require radical movements. And what you're talking about today is not radical at all, folks. It's very, very logical, and it's common sense, and it can be done. You know, we really, people are scratching their heads right now, Kelly, looking for solutions to the problem, because they just don't see it inside of governments anymore. And so now it's a great time to promote this kind of thought, guys, and we should all be taking time to look at this and give it a serious, some serious time of ourselves and come up with our own conclusion about what Kelly's talking about today. Everything she's saying, we need to look into and study ourselves, and then we'll come up with our own opinion. But Kelly, I've been looking at everything that's going on in this country for the last 5 years, right now, you know, and I know, if it keeps going the way it is, well, we're not going to have a country in a very, very short period of time.
We don't want a de facto country. We want to build the Canada.
I absolutely agree.
Hold in our hearts.
I agree, but I'm just saying, if we don't stop this right now, it is absolutely getting out of control. And this maniac sitting in Ottawa, his day is coming. But in the meantime, he is doing so much damage to our country. It boggles my mind. I know that my guest for the third hour is going to talk about, he's been looking into some of all the damage done to children across the board in the country. Just tearing people apart, what's happening in this country right now, especially with our kids, Kelly. That gets me right to the heart.
Everybody should be jumping on to Empowering the Children on Facebook. It's a group. It's run by my girlfriend, Samantha Denuso. She is absolutely amazing in defending our kids. And Stand for Thee is another group. They've been rocking and rolling, and Educators for Human Rights. You know, and
we see kids across the country now taking their masks off, Kelly.
Yes, of course.
It's and it's going viral. So now they're on the internet. They're all going, hey, we've had enough of these masks.
We are the strongest. It's cool. We still have our sovereign rights in Canada. And a lot of the other countries have already lost those rights. And it is up to us to show them. And once we make the example, they will have the opportunity to do it as well. So it is, the time is now. Learn to trust your neighbors. Learn to respect your differences. You know, come together as a unified collective of individuals against a common enemy. And I promise you, your children will absolutely thrive. Absolutely thrive.
We have the blood of our forefathers still coursing through our veins. And it's crying to us right now to get involved, folks. So do what you can, because this is a pinnacle time in our history. Kelly, I want to thank you for joining me for half an hour. I'm going to let you go, my dear, and I look forward to getting you in for a show here in the near future. Always a pleasure having you on. And keep up the good work. God bless you, Kelly, for what you're doing.
Yep, and everybody log on to thelinecanada.com and subscribe on there right away so that we can get this information out to you immediately. I love you, Canada. Thank you, Barry. I love you, sweetheart. And I'll see you guys when I see you.
Thanks, Kelly. Okay, you guys, why don't we do that? That log on and have a look at what she's doing, and let's try and support this organization. Like I said, radical times require radical movements, and we're not going to find answers to the mainstream media or government anymore. So we gotta make this happen for our kids. I'm going to get Chris Guy in here. I think we're calling him right now, Steve.
Yes, I am. I'm trying to. Hopefully, he'll answer.
Yeah, well, he's messaged me twice today, and he's looking forward to chatting with us.
All right.
So I'm sure he'll pick up.
I guess we'll find out here in a few seconds. Dun, dun, dun. It shows it's calling him, but I can't hear any rain.
Huh. Well, like I said, I just talked to him about an hour before showtime.
Unavailable.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Unable to add participant. Number unavailable. I'm going to put a song on?
Put a song on for a minute here. We'll try and track him down here.
All right.
Okay. Back third hour, guys, and always, or second half of the second hour. What am I saying? Third hour. Anyways, always great having Kelly in, and look forward to chatting with her again. I've got Chris Guy in for the second half of the hour here. He said he was stepping into an elevator. I might lose him here for 30 seconds or something. I don't know if you can hear me. Can you hear me, Chris?
I hear you. I'm just giving you a heads up. I might not lose you, but I may lose you.
Okay. Well, how are you doing? And let's hear what's going on in Toronto.
I'm actually in Ottawa. We left Edmonton on Monday during the worst storm I've ever driven through in my life. I'm not exaggerating when I tell you there was literally hundreds of cars in the ditches, hundreds of trucks in the ditches, hundreds of cars and trucks in accidents. We went through multiple roadblocks. We had to do about 7 different detours. It took us, it's supposed to be about a 33-hour journey, and it took us almost 60 hours. And we didn't stop. But we got to Ottawa late Wednesday night, and what I saw was what I expected to see. It's the most significant protest in the history probably of mankind, and it's probably the most friendly, the most clean. Despite everything the city's been trying to do to stop fuel from coming in, to stop people from being able to clean up garbage, et cetera, the people have been literally cleaning the streets. And the parts where the protesters are is the cleanest and safest areas of Ottawa in the entire city. It's incredible. The vibe's amazing. The people are amazing. The speakers were amazing. I don't know if you guys saw, I did a speech yesterday. I don't normally talk about my speeches, but I felt a lot of passion yesterday. I felt proud to be a Canadian yesterday, and it all came out in my speech, and I think it was reflected in how the people reacted. And this movement, regardless of how they try to demonize it, they won't be able to, because there's nothing but love going on in this protest. And the mainstream media can't handle that, because if they can't demonize something, if they can't make it look bad, if they can't find one reason why it shouldn't be happening, then they have to admit that. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Then they have to admit that they've been wrong this entire time. And we know they've been wrong this entire time, because we can look around the world and you see places like Ireland, places like England, you see Denmark, Switzerland, they already removed all the restrictions. And it's because there's so much evidence coming out that these shots are a lot more harmful than everybody initially thought, or at least what they told us. And now we're finding out that they more than likely knew about it in advance. Ryan Rifolnik is part of the he's doing a grand jury now, and they're doing what we talked about, I think, last time I was talking on your show.
Yeah.
They're going on the different batches of vaccines. In Britain, they call them lots, I believe, batches and lot numbers.
Right.
And they're showing how some batches or lots had virtually no side effects whatsoever. And then some batches have thousands and thousands of side effects associated with them. Mm-hmm. And just from law alone of the type of product and the consistency required out of a vaccination or a medical product, that's already violating multiple criminal laws. And if they can find out the worst case scenario, that they were doing this purposely, literally experimenting on us by, in some batches, putting a saline solution, for instance, some batches putting a 25% dosage, some batches putting 100% dosage, because they know that these shots are deadly. They know these shots are harmful. And we're seeing the results all around the world. Even Justin Trudeau had to admit himself, he was triple vaccinated, and now he has COVID, and so does another member of his family. You know who doesn't have COVID? His wife. And if you recall, his wife got COVID back in 2020 from Alba before there was a vaccine. So she got COVID and she recovered with natural immunity, and she hasn't got sick since, even though two members of her family were sick, but they were triple vaccinated.
Right.
So the whole idea of the vaccine is falling apart. And that's why this trucker convoy is not only so important, but it's so successful, because it's going along with what the people want, with what the people feel, but it's also going along with what the science and is actually telling everybody. If people really do follow the science, then there's no way that they can support this kind of involvement from the government.
The data's out there now, Chris, and it's out there in all the countries now are stepping forward, because they know that the cat's out of the bag. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind we're going to see them all back down here going forward. I got a question here in PR chat about infiltrators in the truck convoy that are going to try and discredit the convoy. Do you think the agent provocateurs are right in the truckers themselves, or the outside forces, I think, is what the question is. Chris, what do you see?
Well, right now I see a lot. Like, what I can tell you from being on the ground, literally at ground zero, and driving around, not even driving, walking around to all the different blockades and convoy areas, and speaking to dozens of truckers and hundreds of people on the ground, and observing hundreds of police officers, I can tell you this. The police are spread far and few between.
The Okay.
And they have officers from literally all different parts of Ontario and even other provinces here to try to have shows of force, and it's not working. I could also tell you that the organizers took a big hit when GoFundMe basically screwed them over at the behest of the city. And if everybody doesn't know what was going on, basically, because the Ottawa mayor requested and other council members requested, GoFundMe declared the fundraiser illegal, and they confiscated almost all of the $10 million. And they were so sneaky about it. They even put a clause that said people would have to actually physically go and do their refund, or GoFundMe would confiscate the money by February 19th and be able to give it to whoever they wanted. It was a giant scam, but we helped make it go viral, and it showed, GoFundMe now is automatically refunding, and the new fundraiser is from Give, Send, Go, and it already has quite a bit of money. Not the same kind of flow that was coming in there. So that's why we rely on the people on the ground. And like I said, the situation on the ground is kind of hectic because it was good up until today. As of today, they declared that they've lost complete control of the city. They know the people are in control of the city. The police tried to put in barricades last night, and the protesters basically just stood there, held their line, and then ended up kettling the police and pushing the police back and removing the barricades. So now they declared this state of emergency in Ottawa as of tomorrow, and they're planning on trying to arrest the people, charging them with things like mischief if they're doing things like delivering food or fuel to the truckers. And that's about as ridiculous as saying they're going to take down all the license plates and try to prosecute all the people that are sitting there. There's literally they admitted there was 2.5 million people in Ottawa. What are you going to do, go around giving tickets to everybody? It's smoke and mirrors, just like everything else they have. If they had the kind of manpower that they really needed, they wouldn't have to call people all the way from, like, York Region, Metro, OPP, Peel Region. These are other parts of Ontario, like in some instances, 6-7 hour drives away. Just to bring those resources over there is a lot of money and a lot of effort. And they had to do it because that's all the manpower they have. They tried to call in the military. The military told them to go pound sand. So that's how much power our fearless leader has, who's hiding, and people don't know he tried to maximize his hiding time by first stating that he wasn't positive for COVID, but he's going to isolate anyway. And then he said that he did test positive for COVID. So he bought himself the 5-day isolation period plus another 14-day isolation period. But we all know he's not isolating. He's out hiding somewhere, and they're probably changing his location even daily. The organizers on the ground need more organization. They need a lot better communication. They're more reactive to the situation than they are proactive, while the government is literally waging war against them. It's like you just have people there that want to do the right thing, people there that want to stand up for the country, and they've never really faced a kind of beast that the government truly is. And the government is trying to literally cause them death by a thousand cuts in every which way, shape, and form they can. The only problem is there's such overwhelming support, and it's such true and genuine support because they're on the right side of history, that the government is pretty much powerless at this point. And you can see it reflected. Scott Moe had to pen a letter. Scott Moe was the premier of Saskatchewan, for people who don't know. And he had to publicly declare that he acknowledged that vaccinated people can still transmit and get COVID. So under that reality, a vaccinated trucker is no more of a risk than an unvaccinated trucker, and neither is a person of any type. So Saskatchewan announced they'd be the first province to eliminate the vaccine passport system and eliminate the mandates in general, including forced testing requirements. And this is totally because of the border situation in Alberta and Montana, regardless of what the news will try to peddle to people. Because of that huge blockade that's not just truckers, not just farmers, not just tow truck drivers, it actually has thousands and thousands of literal Canadians on horseback. I don't know if you guys seen the video, but they literally sent thousands and thousands of Canadians, each on their own horse, to reinforce the border blockade. That's how serious Alberta is about getting our freedoms back. And that's why I'm over in Alberta, and I told everybody it's going to be the seat of the revolution in this country. And sure enough, what did Jason Kenney already do? He's holding a press conference next week to announce the end of the vaccine passport and all the other restrictions. so well. Trudeau tries to play hide and seek, and he tries to do things like call in the military unsuccessfully from his little weasel hole in Groundhog Day. And he's literally just trying to hide until they can blow mommy, this whole mommy. Thing can blow over.
Mommy.
Yeah, exactly. Literally crying for his mommy, who's too busy probably having sex with the entire world.
He was like, when he was a kid growing up, I read that he used to go hide under Margaret's skirt when he got in trouble.
I'm sure he's wearing it right now. I bet he's wearing his special little, he's wearing his special little Mickey Mouse knee-high socks with his little white shoes. And he's probably in a little pink polka dot dress, hiding in the basement, crying to his mother. And I hope he's listening right now. That's our fearless leader.
He's got his participation trophy in his hand, buddy. Everything.
Yeah, exactly. And while every leader, and just to show him what's in store for him, we saw what happened to O'Toole. We saw O'Toole get kicked right out of the caucus because he's basically Trudeau light. And I don't know about you, but I saw the setup with Pierre Poilievre a mile away. The funny thing was, the night before he announced he was going to run for PM, I said that he was going to run for PM on a live show. And I didn't think he was going to announce it literally 12 hours later. Like, I know my predictions are good, but damn.
Here's my thought on that, Chris. I said it with Kelly in the first half hour. If he was to declare himself as an independent and break his affiliation with the Conservative Party and actually come out with a mandate that was true for the Canadian people, he would sweep the country because he's a smart man.
I agree, but yeah, and he wouldn't have the funding or the platform that he requires because the only way they let him on TV, the only way they let him on TV is because now he's going to be the new glimmer of hope. They used Maxime Bernier in the last election, and he was the flavor of the week. But now people have realized that if they can't even get a seat, they're never going to change anything, even in 40 elections. So now they know that the Conservatives are the only one with the chance to beat Trudeau. So they give them a new great white hope in Pierre Poilievre, who was never really showed a spine in any of this. Until the majority of Canadians started speaking up against it, all of a sudden he started speaking up on the bandwagon. So I don't trust any of these politicians because he was never, I'll give him the credit for talking about some of the economic impacts, but he was never, like, against mandates. He was never against any of that stuff until it became popular amongst conservatives, which was with the trucker convoy. Yeah.
I said if he drops his party affiliation that he would get attention, but until that time, he's just another government official. And
Exactly. Every politician with a party. Anybody listening needs to understand that any politician affiliated with any party is now owned by that party, and they're basically, that's it. They're not even a person anymore. I don't know how else to explain it better than that, but that's the reality.
So how long?
And I want everyone to notice, politics did not get us to this point. Not one politician is responsible for the truckers' convoy. That is responsibility of the freedom movement. Of people like me that have been telling everybody the only way out of this is a little something called United Noncompliance. And what happened? The truckers were the first group in all of Canada to stand up in United Noncompliance and say enough is enough and actually take action, which is phase two of United Noncompliance, and make their way to Ottawa. And what happened? Like a tidal wave, like I said would happen, they accumulated more and more support as they move towards Ottawa from all directions, from all types of Canadians. And now it's not just a Canadian movement, it's a global movement started and led by Canada. And we have all nations of the world in different continents looking towards Canada to be the beacon of freedom that I said we would be months ago, if you recall. I love this doing live shows because every time I say something and it comes true, you can always revert back to it.
Well, you know, who thought that we'd be the spearhead of the whole world right now in this movement? The little
I did, country. And I
well,
called
I know
it.
You did. I know you called it, Chris. But you know what, brother? Before this thing came here in the last little while, and I honestly believe that a lot of us were kind of going like, you know, we're banging our heads against the wall here, but we're not making any progress. We're not seeing the awakening in the people that we need to see. Well, that has turned around now, and I think we're at the tipping point right now. I honestly believe that this is they can't put this cat back in the bag. It is growing by leaps and bounds, and boy, has there ever been a more necessary time in the history of this country for this just to happen, Chris. It's a good
thing. I told you, gentlemen, over and over, and believe me, I was one of the people smashing my head hardest on the wall, because I tried everything to wake people up and make this happen as fast as physically possible. But I knew everything would have its time. And I told you, all we have to do is hold the line. And I said it's always darkest before the dawn, and we would see the darkest times right before we saw this pivotal turning point. And everything happened exactly as I said. And just like you said, they opened Pandora's box here. There's no closing it. It's not like they're just going to get everybody to go home and everyone's going to say, okay, we had our fun, but now we're Canadians. We're going to go back to being compliant, and we're just going to give in to Justin Trudeau's mandate. This movement is going to get our freedoms back. Now it's just about how far we take it from there. And that's why I told everybody it's even more important, if not as important, to not just stop once we get our freedoms back, but keep pushing and keep the pressure on so we can move into phase three of united noncompliance, holding all these people accountable. Because just changing figureheads, hope like Pierre Poilievre, is not enough. We need somebody to run on a platform that puts legislation in place that punishes these people responsible and makes it impossible for this kind of thing to ever happen again in a country like Canada or any country around the world. That is what I want to see come out of this. I don't want to just see the writ of vaccine passports, travel restrictions, and get our old lives back. No, this is our chance to make Canada something greater than it ever was.
Well, if we don't get rid of the cancer, Chris, it'll just come back. It might appear to be gone away for a little while, and everybody would be jumping up and down going, yahoo, yahoo, we won, back into the little sleepy ways of living, and boom, they'll hit us again. The cancer's not going to go away. It's just going to take a little bit of a break, but it'll be back in massive ways because they've set the precedence now in our society. So we really have to – I think this is a pivotal time that if we don't put a stop to it now and it comes back and it continues to grow, then we've got a major problem. I don't see that happening in this country right now. I see a major awakening of Canadians, and I say that right across
the board. You hit the nail on the head. If there wasn't this giant about face and the people waking up in this massive way, we would be in a position where they could virtually use anything to tweak us back into another lockdown, a new variant, a new virus, a climate catastrophe, whatever they could imagine. So the last thing we want is a remission of this disease. We want a complete eradication, and we want to leave ourselves with the type of antibodies that last a lifetime so we never have to take another injection of their bullshit again.
Right. Oh. Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. And you know what I'm seeing, Chris? People in my society here that went along with the government narrative the first 3 or 4 months they were brought these vaccines out, and they allowed themselves to be double jabbed. And you know how many of them have come up to me and said they're absolutely infuriated with the lies that the government perpetrated on them the first couple months they were pushing these vaccines as being safe and effective. Well, folks, go look at the Veracyte right now and then listen to some of the studies done. And we're looking at one of the most toxic injections ever unleashed on the human race, Chris. This has killed more
people. I think it is the most toxic injection.
It is. It's killed more people than all vaccines, so-called vaccines in the last 20 years of our history. It's killed more people at this point, and it's accelerating, my friend. It's genocide.
And it's only getting started. You don't even know what it's going to do to all the people, the billions of people they injected long-term.
Well, yeah, we don't have any idea what it's going to do 2-3 years down the road, but we're
seeing. Or even 5 years.
Well, yeah. But you also know with the coding systems that they brought out, well, the reason they're doing that, Chris, the way I see it, is they're not going to bring out batches that are going to kill people in mass, okay? Because if they did that, then it would raise too much public attention. So what they're doing is, of course, slow-killing society. A lot of people are getting plain saline. They're not getting any of the good stuff. And other people are getting massive amounts of the good stuff. So it slowly kills society. It doesn't raise too much attention. But boy, I'll tell you, if people go look at the numbers right now, it's absolute insanity that we're even allowing this to go on right now. It's
well, the U.S. military has whistleblowers that admit it. If you look at the 5-year average of all diseases combined in the military, the 5-year average leading up to 2020 and including 2020, the first year of COVID before the vaccine had hit, it was 1.7 million diseases in all of the U.S. military. Now, in just from 2021, it was a total of something like 10 or 12 months of reporting. That five-year average changed from 1.7 million diseases to over 20 million diseases. And in the, and they see a 500 to 2,500% increase in every single reported disease in the U.S. military. That's a minimum 5 up to 25 times increase in every single disease, including neurological diseases.
Yeah, we
so this vaccine, the vaccine doesn't just damage people's immunity. It's almost like it finds the weakness in everybody's genetic code. Everybody's genes, when they can run you, you can run your blood through a system, and it can tell you what you're more predisposed to. It can tell you if you're more predisposed to have a heart attack or lung disease or liver disease or diabetes, yep. et cetera. Yep. So this injection seems to be something that finds whatever weakness is in your code and exploits it. So I think we're going to see it manifest, and this is just complete speculation. And notice when I say speculation, before I say something, I mean it. But in my opinion, you're going to see a rise in all different types of illnesses that were considered normal, like higher rates of diabetes, higher rates of heart disease, just like we're seeing massive increases in myocarditis. We're going to see, over time, increases in all these other diseases. And they're not going to be able to put it towards the vaccine because the it's not going to be a listed side effect of the vaccine or a known side effect of the vaccine because it takes years to manifest it and only manifests it in those certain people where it's predisposed. Right. So basically, it's a, like you said, it's a slow kill shot. And it seems like the third shot was the charm to really do damage on people in a quick way, because as soon as people started getting boosted all over the world, I was getting phone calls from all over the world of people who had family members, aunts, uncles, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters dying virtually every single day. And I never got calls like that at the beginning of COVID, even when we were in the first lockdown and everybody was totally terrified. It wasn't until the vaccine came out where all the problems truly started for the world.
Just a coincidence, Chris. We had a 19-year-old guy die in Kitimat here a couple of days ago. A healthy young man went and got his booster. And 2 days after he got it, he died. We had a rally in Kitimat yesterday, Chris. There was 400 people in the parking lot in city center in Kitimat. And the whole town is talking about it. People crying yesterday about it. Well-known young man, perfectly healthy. It's just another coincidence. We've seen a 300% increase in cancer. Folks, did you know that, Chris? 300% increase.
I think you're going to see it more than that. That's they factor the all the champions.
Yeah. Those are the numbers I'm seeing right now. That's staggering in itself. Go ahead.
Yeah. If you factor in the birth defects and everything else, this so-called vaccine is going to cause more damage to humanity than virtually anything that's ever come before it. And when you factor that into the overall damage to the economy and the overall damage to people's emotional well-being, and all the other increases like children, domestic violence, overdoses, suicides, et cetera, you come to the conclusion, undeniably, that this is the largest crime against humanity in human history, with so many people that have been complacent or somehow enabling this, that there should be charges laid all around the world for years to come. There will be. I know there's going to be lawsuits, but there should be real, real consequences for these types of people. And I believe every different countries are going to deal with it in different ways. And I'm just going to say out to our leaders that they're lucky that they live in a country like Canada where even though the people are pissed off right now, they're still civil. Because if they were in some third world country and there was this type of uprising, it wouldn't be like it is in Ottawa. It would not. There would be a city on fire.
Chris, I'm going to have to let you go, my friend. Always great having you in. Thanks for sharing some time with us. Keep what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing there, brother. And like I said, last thought from you, and then I'm going to have to let you go.
Sure. I want everybody to either go on my face or my Instagram, which is at ChrisSkyArmy1, or my Telegram at RealChrisSky, and watch my speech from yesterday for Ottawa, because it'll give you an entire idea of what that place is like and what this protest is like and what this protest means to the country. Other than that, I just want to let everybody know that I'm going to be heading back to Alberta and heading to the border crossing there to give those guys the support they need. because I believe that that's going to be the new ground zero in this fight. As they really try to crack down on the city, it's going to be really tough to keep the protests going in the same capacity for an extended length of time. I believe it's going to survive and it's going to keep going, but in a different form, we'll say. But the border crossings are pretty much essential, and those are the places where we actually have the government negotiating with them, and they know that they have no choice. So those are going to be the real ground zeros in this fight of the world. And everybody needs to support this. Everybody needs to emulate this all around the world. And I just want to say God bless everybody. I'm finally proud to be a Canadian.
Hey, Chris, thanks for coming in, brother. And keep us posted, okay?
Will do. I'll let you know when I'm back in, when I'm heading back to Alberta.
Okay, man. Thanks for coming in. Okay.
Ciao, brother.
Bye for now. Okay, folks, we're going to take a couple of minutes here, and I'm going to pull in Jürgen Wallrath. He's got lots to talk about today, so hang around. Should be a good third hour. Back in a couple.
It's so elusive, can't be denied.
Welcome back, third hour, and thanks, Chris and Kelly, for coming in the second hour and telling us what's going on in Ottawa. It's great to hear. Anybody who's listened to my shows over the year knows that I get a guy on by the name of Jürgen Wallrath. I've had Jürgen on multiple times in the last couple of years. It's because I love his level of understanding of what's going on in this country and his passion for what we see going on in this great country. And it's always good to have you in, Jürgen. I know that lots have changed since the last time we talked. We're seeing one of the biggest grassroots movement ever in Canadian history. I can't think of anything that would supersede this event that's going on. We're now seeing Canadians rise in mass. And what are your thoughts about all this, brother?
Well, first of all, let me thank you for having me on the program again, Barry. I really appreciate it. It's always great to chat with you because we have a lot of very meaningful discussions that are kiboshed by the mainstream, or what I call the lamestream media, that refuses to address very serious concerns that are being shown and highlighted by the convoy movements that are growing throughout not only Canada, but throughout the world. So it's you know, for people like you and me at our age and the number of years we've been fighting, it is so refreshing to see that we've got younger people now on the ground, boots on the ground, wanting their freedoms, understanding what is at stake. And I feel so blessed right now to know that I've done my part. I can sit back because I'm older now. I'm 72. You know, I wish I was in my 30s now. I'd be right up there. You know that. And well, so
we all would.
We all would. You know, I just, due to medical things and stuff that goes on in your body after you turn 65, 70, you just can't do the things you used to do. However, this movement, and knowing some of the people personally that are involved, the people behind the scenes that are involved, I can tell everyone that's listening, this movement is run by some of the best people you will ever meet in your life. Some of the best mothers, some of the best fathers, some of the best grandfathers. And what you're seeing is a movement of mothers, fathers, and grandfathers that are saying they've had enough. They want children raised in a proper environment. They don't want massive mandates controlling their life. They don't want somebody like Big Brother, and George Orwell said it in his books, over top of them, telling them how to run their lives. Enough is enough. It's my body, my choice. And what we're seeing, and it's so clear to anyone that has a brain, a complete reversal of leftist ideologies, things like the Marxist ideology of workers unite, that is blown up in their face now because, what is it, only certain workers are allowed to unite, not the truckers, right? They don't like them. So they're changing the dialogue. They're changing exactly what they are. And boy, oh boy, it's delightful to see because they're reversing everything they're about by diminishing what these blue-collar workers are asking for. And Trudeau couldn't play it any better for us by staying away. He's playing the perfect part because the world is watching. The world
is
watching.
What a joke. What a joke he is, man. It's not even a joke. He's an embarrassment. He's just it's such a disgusting individual. He really is. You know, he's showing the country his true colors, though. He really is. He is shooting himself in the foot right now. That there's a tidal wave happening now in this country, folks. There is. And it's not going away. It's not. But there's so many people now ready to stand up and tell the government to pound sand, that we are seeing a unification in the country like I've never seen before. One of the biggest problems I see is some of the organizations that seem to be working, a few of them, against the subject in some of these groups. I hear a lot of chatter. I guess we're always going to see that when this kind of thing happens, Jürgen, but I wish they could sort that kind of crap out because it really takes away from what we're trying to do. I think you know also that the persons in charge of security in the convoy, the people that are really overseeing what's going on the grounds and watching for provocateurs, are RCMP guys that are on unpaid leave right now. There's actually quite a few of them that have volunteered, including Daniel Bulford, who was one of the members of Trudeau's sniper team. He's in charge of what's going on down there. And believe me, they are watching for these provocateurs because they know they're just going to push it even harder. The longer these people are there, the more attacks we're going to see happen. So they're well aware of it, folks. They're going to get caught. And I think a couple already did, apparently. They got charged by the Ottawa police. Go ahead, Jürgen.
Well, and that's the problem. You see, the media then picks and chooses what they're going to tell the people. They're not going to tell the people that they've arrested a couple of local citizens that were probably hired to do some bad things. They're going to portray everything as the truckers did it, right? It's not going to stop. When you listen to the rhetoric that came from our prime minister, when he said in his tweet that today in the House, members of Parliament unanimously condemned the anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, anti-black racism, homophobia, and transphobia that we've seen on display in Ottawa over the past number of days. Together, let's keep working to keep Canada, to make Canada more inclusive. Like, it just,
can you believe that, man, that statement?
Disgusting. It is absolutely unbelievable. Disgusting.
To call us that. We're terrorists now, Jürgen. I always wanted to be a terrorist, buddy.
How long have we been terrorists, man? We have been for a long, long time.
Oh, my
time.
God, man.
You know, they're trying to portray this, and like you all know, we know it. There's going to be a false flag that's going to happen at some point. They're going to try to do something to discredit this movement. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. This is now the Great Awakening. It can't stop now, Barry. We've hit the tipping point. The tipping point is here, and it's over the top to the other side, and they're going down. See you later. Sayonara. The trucks ain't moving. The tow trucks are showing up, and they're parking beside the rigs. They're not. They've actually called Buffalo for tow trucks, and they said bite sand.
Yeah. They've all got COVID. All the trucking companies that are getting called have got COVID.
Yeah. Can't do it.
Can't
not
do it.
Not going to do it. Sorry.
They tried to call in the military, and the military said, nah, ain't going to happen. Come on, man. He's losing.
Exactly.
He's losing. But something I said here earlier today, and I got to share this thought with you, Jürgen, is that we said false flag there a few minutes ago. Well, a small false flag is something that society can absorb. But you know and I know that we're dealing with psychopaths, that these people are so evil that there's nothing out of their playbooks right now. We've got to keep that in mind. It's very important that people understand that 3,000 deaths, 30,000 deaths, 300,000 deaths, it doesn't mean an iota to them. It's perpetrating the agenda. And if their backs are up against the wall, which they are right now, if they're a wounded animal and they're very dangerous, that I really kind of just want to make people aware that a major false flag, which always, always unifies a nation, a major false flag right now would be right in their playbook, folks. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying people need to be aware of that thought process, and it would work efficiently right now, especially in light of how fast the data is just blowing them right out of the water right now. They can't hide the lie much longer, and they know it. That's why they're all scrambling now, Jürgen. They're scrambling, trying to look like the good guys. Back seven. Going to restrict. Oh, we're going to give you all your freedoms back. What a joke. Just my thought on that. I'm not saying it's going to happen, Jürgen, but you know they've used false flags so many times in history, and they have worked very efficiently. So it's in their playbook, folks. That's all I'm saying. Go ahead.
Well, when you listen to the movement of the left that is entirely against this, what the Washington Post called a toxic movement that needed to be confronted. Canada's the Globe and Mail dubbed it as dangerous, reminding Canadians of the January 6th riot in the United States. The Times, the New York Times, described the convoy as a group of anti-vax truckers. The CBC went so far as to suggest that, you know, Russian actors could be continuing to fuel things as this protest grows. You know, like, and thousands of Canadians who
did it
to the street, including the truck driver, came from every background, race, and creed, with many voicing a mixture of sadness, anger, and despair at Trudeau for vilifying them. So the decision, I believe, you know, and, you know, you look around at the people in the convoy, their decision to reject, first of all, official political support and reject interviews by the mainstream media tells you exactly where we're at. Right? because they're not going to trust the mainstream media to tell any truth. So they're only having press releases to alternative media folks who are going to put stuff out on the internet and not through the mainstream BSers who are condescending people. And I want to talk about something, if I can, real quick. Yesterday, I got to watch the city of Ottawa, the city council, talk about what they're going to do about this invasion and now this occupation of their city. And they talked about how they are going to stand up for the rights of the people of the city of Ottawa against these invaders. They talked about how they're going to stand up for the rights of the tax-paying citizens who can't sleep at night. So here's the thing. They were talking in such a way that these people think they can save the world when, in fact, they can't even save their own homeless people that live in their cities. They sit around these tables and they condescend towards people who actually work for a living. They sit around in a circle, big circle jerk, and talk about how great they are and how they're going to do these wonderful things to protect their citizens when for the last 2 years, they've been telling everybody to stay at home, stay away from your dying grandmother, don't hug your children, and make sure you don't go to the restaurant unless you wear a mask when you're standing up, but you can take it off while you eat. Those are the people we're supposed to listen to. These are the same people that are telling us that there's more than two genders. They're the same people that have told us over the years how we need to bring drag queen story hour into kindergarten so that the children can understand sexual relationships at the age of five. This is where we're at, and it needs to stop. So this convoy is about a lot of things. It's about mandates. It's about reinforcing our freedoms, and it's also about getting rid of the institutions that allow these festering, corrupt, evil people to infiltrate the seats of power and then decide what's right for the rest of us. It all has to stop. We need people that actually have righteousness on their side. We need God-fearing people. They've taken God out of our society, and look at the mess that it's in. So we need to bring some of that back, whether you believe in God or not. You need to pick a side now, because there is evil on the planet. And as far as I'm concerned, the Ten Commandments and Jesus and God will take us away from all of that. So, because if we preach love and compassion, which is the teachings of Christ, that will get us out of this. But no, what we're in is in a society of death. We're in a death culture where the left loves abortion up to 9 months. They even talk about it up to the age of 3 years of life. We can abort. If the parents don't love that child, if it's an inconvenience at 2.5, we'll just take it to this dump site. That's the attitude of some of these people, and that's how far they've drifted from their moral compass of being righteous at any level. Whew. Sorry, that was just a little...
Well, no, you know, Jürgen, when, you know, you really you hit a nerve in the heart when we talk about abortion up to 9 months in a child. I just cannot fathom a society
That takes me to what happened. Sorry, Barry. That takes me to what happened to my grandchild. Okay. Now, your listeners need to know there's a trial coming up in March, and I can't say too much about it. But there's an incident that happened at a local hardware store. And a subcontractor at that hardware store who was looking after the plants decided they needed to spray some kind of disinfectant into the face of my daughter-in-law and my 19-month-old grandson because she wasn't wearing a mask. This person didn't ask my daughter-in-law to put a mask on because she was afraid. There was no one else around except one other gentleman who also wasn't wearing a mask, because in that store they said you can wear a mask or not. It is your choice. She decided not to wear the mask, but the employee there took it upon herself, spraying a disinfectant onto a certain area of the countertops or whatever. Within 2 feet of my daughter-in-law, sprayed that disinfectant in her face and onto my grandson, 19 months old. Long story short, this woman has a history. Apparently she has done it before. We're going to be going to court in March, and I'll keep you updated as to what's going to happen, because it's not going to, from my point of view, it's not going to end there, because what's going to happen whether my son and daughter-in-law agree or not, and I think they may agree with me, is that someone now needs to stand for my grandson. He's 19 months old and can't speak for himself. He got sprayed with poison. So I'm drafting a defense for my grandson that goes all the way up to Justin Trudeau. That's what I'm working on the side. I'm drafting up some paperwork on what I feel, what happened, and speaking for my grandson. That's where I'm at. Yeah. People need to know that this convoy is about stopping that madness. Because what happened to my grandson is a direct result of these policies of Justin Trudeau and his minions. And everybody else, the media, all of them are to blame for this. If I watch another CTV or CBC journalist interviewing someone from the convoy and looking so condescending, like they have just a high moral superiority, it's enough to make you gag and puke. These people are being paid by the government to spin a narrative, no matter what good the other person on the side is doing. They will spin the narrative that favors the government, and that has to stop. It is absolute madness what is going on here. You just look at what the media has done on the January 6th riot down in the United States. Do you know that those doors had magnetic locks on them? They weigh like 2,000 pounds each. Somebody had to open those doors at the Capitol building. Somebody opened them. And they had people guiding people through. It was a complete setup. And they're going to try a setup to the people in the convoy. But you know what? It's not going to work because people are onto it. People can see it. They can smell it. And there's more and more people each and every day seeing it and smelling it. You know, Barry, you've gone to events. There's more people showing up. I was at the rally yesterday in Medicine Hat. There's a lot more joy. There's a lot more people yesterday than there was the week before. There's a lot more honking on the streets, that's for sure. More positivity in that area. So not as many middle fingers to the protesters from cars driving by, because I have seen that. I think we're on the winning side, Barry.
I drive around with a 6 foot a flag that's a little bit rude, I admit. But since I started wearing it around town, I think I've had about 190, maybe 200 thumbs up, and I've only had 4 one-finger salutes, Jürgen. So it kind of amazes me that there's still 4 people in this town that like Justin Trudeau. 4 people. But anyways. That particular flag is sold out on Amazon. They can't keep it. It's the biggest, fastest-selling flag in Canada right now. It's going to be our new national flag, buddy, because it speaks exactly how people feel about this crime minister that's absolutely destroying everything it means to be a Canadian. He is such a piece of work, Jürgen, and we can't say or express our anger the way we want to on this radio show, how I feel about this guy. But I honestly believe that a much more powerful force is in control of what's going on in our world. And there's going to come a day when this man is going to have to answer for what he's doing to people. And I wouldn't want to be in his shoes when that day comes, my friend. And that gives me solace. There are evil, evil people running our world here. It's absolutely beyond anything I thought I'd see in my lifetime. I never really thought growing up that this kind of stuff would be possible in our world. I always believed that, you know, the world was kind of a little bit messed up, but nothing like this could exist in society. But now that we know about it, it's our duty to do what we can to inform the rest of our fellow citizens and try and educate them about the dangers we're in right now, because we are in a very, very, very dangerous time, my friend. We're seeing major progress forward, but we could also see something happened that would just take everything away that we're doing. So I hope that doesn't happen. I hope we keep going forward. But like I said, these guys are pretty evil and they're pretty mean. We have to remember that all the time. Jürgen, go ahead.
Well, the sooner people realize that their government has declared war on them, the faster we'll get out of this, right? So, like I said, watching that that city council meeting. I mean, it just shines a light on the complete ineptitude, arrogance, and lack of sensitivity to the plight of Canadians. You know, all those people who never missed a paycheck think they hold the moral high ground against anyone who's trying to find a way to survive, because they've taken businesses away, they've taken away opportunities. The disconnect is so astounding, because now you have a situation where you have people that for 2 years have been able to stay at home in their pajamas and collect a paycheck. And they're the ones, you know, that go out once in a while, but, oh, can't go out today because someone in the office caught the bug, so we got to stay home for 2 more weeks. That's okay for us, because we're still going to get a check. And I'm hooked up by the computer. I can still dabble for 10 or 15 minutes like I do at my 8 hours a day at my government job, of which I'm highly overpaid. Now I can do it from home. So we're in a situation now, and those people, you think they're going to want to change that? I don't think so. They're going to love having that, right? They're going to want to be able to stay in their pajamas as much as they can and still get a paycheck and still get a full time from their boss at work.
Yep. If only they knew what they were doing, Jürgen. If only they could understand what they're doing by doing this. But the government knows what they're doing.
They don't realize it's the people they're against that pay them. Like, they forgot that, right? They totally forgot that. That these people are the ones, if they don't work, eventually you don't work because there's no money for you. So how stupid are you?
And who are these people going to vote for? Well, the people, of course, are going to vote for the people that have been giving them paychecks. I mean, well, have I ever had it easier in my life? Look at this government. These guys are the greatest things in the world. Why would I want to change it? Yeah. Sure, there, I'll give you my tick. Just keep sending me my CERB check. Like I said, they really don't understand where this government's taking them, what kind of what part of the Communist Manifesto this kind of action by the government falls into, because it's in there. We are building a nanny state where people are going to be so dependent on the government. It's just another step forward that with universal income, all these globalist agendas that are being implemented, people go, well, great, we all get a paycheck. Doesn't matter what you do. You can sit home, pick your nose, and you're still going to get a check. Well, the consequences is that long-term, folks, are written in black and white. Go read it. Go read Chapter 4 of the Communist Manifesto. Go ahead, Jürgen.
Well, and the amazing thing is the left are all about protecting the working class, just not this working class, right? So they're picking and choosing. So which one is the next working class left to be unprotected? You know, it's just mind-boggling. And I'd like to remind all the listeners, I do know some of the organizers of the convoy, one of the leaders, actually. She's a close friend. And anyone who would disparage her, I'd be willing to debate them on any topic at any time about her and about what her motives are. So any disparagement that comes towards their way is completely illogical. It's completely out of tune with what is reality. And just like the mainstream media, the way they're painting all of these people, there's a vested interest here from a personal point of view. I'm just saying these are good people that want only good things. So, you know, the thing that I'd like to stress to some of the listeners is I can guarantee you one thing. The truckers and the convoy and the organizers never had one single meeting where they said, hey, let's go to Ottawa, fly some Nazi and Confederate flags, rob the soup kitchen, desecrate the war memorial and the Terry Fox memorial, shut down Ottawa businesses, because that'll get the public on our side 100%, right? Mm. Yeah, that meeting for sure. It's unbelievable, you know.
It is. It's comical.
Did you see that picture of the guy waving the Confederate flag and the photographer that looks exactly like Justin Trudeau's personal photographer?
Imagine that. Just happened to be there.
Just a
coincidence.
Absolute coincidence. Absolutely.
You saw the press conference the other day, right, Jürgen? You watched the press conference?
I sure did.
Did you see the watered-down version on Global TV? Did you go see their – they were there, of course. Did you go see their actual report? They left out a few things. They just by chance left out a few statements made by the organizers. Go listen to it.
Oh.
They clipped it in a couple of spots. Yeah, well, okay. That's what my understanding is. That was brought to my attention today. That in the global report wasn't complete as to what they allowed to be said by the organizers of the convoy.
That's why they're not allowed in.
Well, nothing is off the table right now with these people, Jürgen. Nothing.
You know, they're
full bore. They're trying to pass C-10. You know what? They're going to try and ram that through this week. You know that, eh?
They're going to try and ram it through.
Yeah.
I know.
The NDPs and the Liberals will work together. They'll probably get the Greens involved. Yep. They'll join in, and they'll just run it through. And all of a sudden, you, me, anybody that's speaking against the government could be shut down. Totally.
Yeah, we're done.
Isn't that great?
We're totally.
Isn't that great? Man, oh, man.
Yeah, perfect.
People better wake up, Jürgen, quick.
Well, I've told my friends that I worked my entire working life in the city of Ottawa. I had contracts with the federal government in our businesses dealings. I had contracts with the city of Ottawa. I had contracts with the province of Ontario. I worked with all of these people. And I've told everybody in Ottawa that the Ottawa safety bubble is about to burst. You live in a bubble. You don't really know what's going on outside of there, just like the people in Toronto don't know what's going on. You think you do. You think you're smart because there's so many academics, bureaucrats, and people that like pushing pencils, people that couldn't lift up a hammer and drive a nail through a piece of wood if their life depended on it. They're the ones that are deciding policy. They're the ones that are deciding how people are supposed to live. So I've told the Ottawa people that I know that comfy feeling brought on by mass complacency is about to be disrupted. There is a resolve from outside of that Ottawa bubble, including, I would say now, the Washington bubble, Berlin bubble, the London bubble, to bring light on injustices placed on those not getting a regular paycheck. Those who have lost loved ones through poverty, suicide, cancer, and every other ailment that plagues mankind other than this current virus, they all have concerns being neglected. The people's right to choose is being taken away. The right to question anything is met with censorship and ridicule. Our speech is distorted. And the fact that we have no real fifth estate to protect the truth distorts everyone's reality. And absolutely, so many are in that bubble of false reality. Our media must be purged completely. And people like you and me and many others who seek out the truth and apologize and mean it when we're wrong, these are the kinds of people we need to lead the way forward when it comes to media. Because the rest, it all has to blow up. When we're paying for our news, we're not getting news. And this country hasn't been getting news for 50 years. We've been getting propaganda. We've been getting fed slices of reality dressed up with a nice salad of propaganda on top. And we're being told that the salad is the best thing for us. The meat underneath, you just get a little bit of that. And from now on, it's going to be fake meat. It's going to be stuff we make, the people that control the salad on top.
Well, you should run for president of CBC, then I could get a job there. And we turn this country upside down. We turn this country upside down in a couple of days. If we could grab the narrative of the mainstream and tell people exactly what's going on in this country, you'd see a rise in citizens. The ones that are still asleep, they'd all be coming out in droves because people don't know what's going on. They still are in a bubble. They don't realize the danger that our country is in. And that is a travesty in our society. It really is, Jürgen. Mainstream media are the enemy of the people. That they're going to be held in account one day, too, for what they've done, not giving people the information they need to make educated decisions. And they're never – it's just so biased, man. It's sickening. I turn on the radio, and you know what I hear in BC all the time now is get your child's vaccination. I mean, every time you turn on the radio, that's what the government's talking about. Get your child vaccinated. Get your inoculations for your child. Keep them safe. Keep society safe. What a crock of bullcrap. This does not affect children, Jürgen. It does not, folks. It does not affect children, period. prove me wrong. And what are we doing to our kids, Jürgen? It breaks my heart, buddy. It brings tears to me when I think about the damage that are being done to our children for absolutely nothing. Somebody's really going to have to answer for this someday, because the wounds that are happening in our society right now, Jürgen, are going to take a long time to heal. If this was all to go away tomorrow, the wounds that this has caused in our world are going to take a long time to heal, folks. They are. It's very deep and very ugly. Go ahead, Jürgen.
Yeah, it is. And, I really feel that we're starting to see, because I think we all have a role in life, and I think we all have a purpose, and we're all here for a reason. You and I are here for a reason, Barry. We've made it this far because we've been chosen. Okay, and as we lift, and as we help lift the veil of ignorance placed upon humanity by all of those people wishing subservience of the masses, right? We, you and I, are witness to this great new awakening. We've been waiting for this. We've been in the back. We've been on the front lines of this battle, and now we're starting to see troops come behind us with fresh equipment, brand new equipment. They're coming up, and they're faster. They're more energized, and they are full of the vim and vigor that we wish we had right now with our aid. So I see a great new awakening, and with each passing day, new eyes are looking through the fog of deception, right? I mean, we've been summoned. We've been gathered to celebrate this beginning of a new age. Like, I really believe we're included in a global resurgence of the confidence in the human will that demands that we get justice and freedom for all. Equal justice. Not the kind of justice we get now where those at the top are free of all justice. You can be the most unethical person in the halls of power. And then when you're away from the halls of power, get a job as an ethics professor at Harvard after you've screwed the people through unethical actions that you've taken. So we're not alone, right? Canada, humanity is raising a global consciousness to another level. And I think that's what we're seeing when you're seeing the dancing in the streets. You're seeing people lift the veil of this consciousness that we're in to bring us to a new level of heightened awareness. I mean, everybody has seen how the initial 14 days has morphed into 2 years with no end in sight. Everybody sees that, right? That a lot of people are stuck in that situation where they feel, okay, I've been going along for 2 years. I better keep going along because everybody else is doing that. And they follow, and we will never save them. There's probably 20% of the population, I think, that's like that. We'll never save them. They will always be on that side. But we are not allowed to question anything, and they control the narrative and all of that. But you know what? We have none of that. Right now in Canada, massive changes have happened in our nation state status right from the day Justin Trudeau was elected. Remember, the day after he said, welcome to the world's first post-national state, and not a single person talked about it. Not a single person talked about what he said. He never got elected on a platform of saying, hey, elect me. I'm going to make Canada the world's first post-national state. Words mean something. That's what he said. Welcome to the world's first post-national state, meaning there's no more Canada. Forget about your anthem. Forget about all of that. He told us that we are now swearing allegiance to Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum and their dreams of a one-world government, the world's first, because Canada has been a petri dish for the United Nations and all things globalist ever since Pierre Trudeau was hallowed into the halls of power by Lester B. Pearson, that traitorous mother. Yeah. You know, the three wise men from Quebec are going to save this country back in the 60s, and then Trudeau's elected. A card-carrying communist slithered his way into the Liberal Party, and that party has since slithered its way into full-blown communism. And there's people out there saying, well, you talk about communism and socialism. There isn't a freedom that I've lost. Oh, really? Really? You used to go fishing without a license. You used to drive your car without a license. You could sell food, open a business, cut hair, and build or renovate your house without paying a tax on it. but I haven't lost any freedoms, right? Like, it's enough to drive you crazy. They're rushing us into their political and social dominance as we live our lives on this tax farm, and yet all these people believe we've lost no freedoms because they've been manipulated by the media to believe they're living in a free and democratic country. You hear it every day, right? We live in a free and democratic society. We're free and democratic. Yeah, really? Yes. Right. How come I can't go fishing without paying you for a license? You're a criminal. You're taking my money for nothing. I'm allowed to fish without having to pay you. Who gave you the right to tell me I have to pay you to go fishing? Or to pop a deer to fill my freezer?
Well said, Jürgen.
So each and every day, Barry.
Well, you know, we're taxed to death, and people don't realize it, that it's theft, that we live in the richest country in the world, that Canadians should be getting a check from the government every month. We shouldn't be paying a penny of taxes in this country. We shouldn't be paying a penny of taxes based on our wealth of natural resources in this country. But we see that being stolen from us. We see these government operatives over the years just absolutely dismantling our economies, and what is real valuable in Canada has been sold off or promised to another country. China owns how much of Canada right now, and just full steam ahead, man. No stopping. Pretty soon it'll be past the point of no return. Jürgen, we have, like I said with Ron, and I've said before, I think we still have a window right now, but you know that window is going to get smaller and smaller. And I say that a lot because I honestly believe that, but we still have a chance right now if people can get their poop together. And I'm seeing it now in Canada. Like you said, we've been banging our heads against the wall for how many years now, Jürgen? I can remember conversations you and me were having 3 years ago. And we were talking about that time in history when they were going to completely clamp down on civilization, that we've seen all the pieces falling in place, and here it is. All we can do is keep trying to educate people, because education and knowledge alleviates fear. And fear, you know, is the biggest weapon they're using against us. My biggest concern right now, Jürgen, I'll run one scenario by you real quick. We only got about we got about 20 minutes left here, but I think what they're going to do here, and because the data is out there now, all these governments in the world are starting to realize they're losing the narrative. They're going to backpedal. We've seen that this week with, I think, 7 or 8 European nations announcing all restrictions being dropped. I think you're going to see that happen worldwide. I think it'll go away for a month or two. But then I think it's going to come back with a fury. I really honestly believe that's the kind of scenario they're going to lay out right now. Just my thoughts. I don't know what you think about that, but the groundwork is laid. They know how society responds to announcements of potential viruses that are going to hurt people. If they were to let society go back to normal, let everybody get into a lulling state almost, again, it's all in their playbook, I think. Go ahead. Just a thought.
Yeah, no, I was just, you're right. I mean, when you think about what's going on, you look at what the mayor of the city of Ottawa, Jim Watson, and he was mayor when I was still living back there. And he seems to have been mayor forever. Again, one of these people who's selected to sit there forever because we never get a true vote. Anyways, when he sincerely thanked the GoFundMe for listening to the plea made by the city and the Ottawa police, right, to no longer provide funds to the convoy. I mean, that right there is government collusion with corporation, and that is fascism. And all they do, these fascists, is point the finger at people like the convoy and say they're the fascists. It's the same thing they do down in the U.S. The Democrats, you know, they point at Trump, he's the evil one, when they're the ones that are got the border open and all this stuff. So it's just this circle. And they have the power for now because they have the blowhorns. But look what's happening. CNN is collapsing under its own weight, right? There's new ownership at CNN. The CEO has left. There's all kinds of scandals happening there. You're seeing the numbers for Joe Rogan explode because the more they censor him, the more people are drawn to see what's going on. So, really, it's like Daddy says, no, don't
you
go
can't
into
have
that cabinet. Don't go into that liquor cabinet while we're gone for the weekend, son. And don't put water in the gin bottle while we're gone, right? And you still do it anyway.
You did that too, eh?
Oh yeah.
Sounds like we were very much alike as kids.
I used to take my dad's car out at 3 o'clock in the morning out of the laneway. I would put it in neutral and I'd push it out of the laneway and I'd get out on the road and I'd get out on our street, I'd turn it on and I'd go for a midnight drive.
Jürgen.
It was really bad.
When I was 14 years old, my parents used to go to choir practice on Friday nights. They left the keys for the Renault on the divider by the door. As soon as they were gone, we'd all dress up, try to make ourselves look older. And we'd get in the car, and we'd go driving around for a couple hours, and everybody in the neighborhood knew about it and eventually got back to my parents. But we used to drive the cars at 14, driving around, trying to look old, you know. And we got away with it, man. Never killed anybody.
I know.
But we used to do that stuff when we were kids because we were boys. And that's what boys did back then. They weren't a bunch of snowflakes hiding in their house, driving
and
their
participation
trophy.
We were doing stuff like
trophy.
That.
What a joke.
You know what?
Never played in the sand.
I gotta tell you, my first day of having my license, Barry, my dad reluctantly gave me the keys to the car, and he told me, he says, do not pick up your friends and do not go to the shopping center. So what did I do? I picked up my friends and I went to the shopping center. Right. And what did I do at the shopping center? I took a left instead of a right and I banged into a woman's car. The first day I had my license, I got home. My dad was so angry, but he was so good at fixing cars. He actually went to this woman's place and took the front bumper off the car, brought it home, fixed it, put it back on her car.
Cool.
And that's how it was resolved. And she said, well, your son shouldn't have been in the car. She was angry at first. But when my dad fixed her car, she was like, oh, my God, I couldn't believe this happened.
It takes
like a fender bender, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, nowadays, you're going to, you know, in BC, it takes a person about, I think, almost close to 2.5 years or something to get their license, or a little over 2 years now. But when I was 16, I get a load of this, Jürgen. I remember I went and got my learners in Toronto. When I was 16 years old, four days later, I went in and wrote my license and got it.
Yeah.
So I had my learners for a grand total of 4 days. Now it's like a 2-year process, man. It's crazy. But you know what? I've never had an accident in my life, Jürgen. So I've been either very lucky or I've been very good. My dad was a good driver and he taught me. So
I've been
a good driver all my life. That's, you know what, Jürgen? That's a lie. That's a lie, because I was so drunk one day that I don't remember it, but I had an accident that I was so drunk that I don't remember the accident. And believe it or not, that was the last day that I ever drank alcohol in my life. That was the turn point. So that happened about 42 years ago. I did about $5,000 to $6,000 damage in this accident. Wrote off a brand new vehicle and blah, blah, blah. And actually, I woke up in jail the next day and the cops started telling me about what I did the night before. And I went, what? What are you talking about? Anyways, that was the day that I swore off alcohol. That was, I think, 42 years ago and I haven't touched a drop since. So it was a rude way to wake up. Rude way to wake up. But anyways, that was my story. Go ahead. We've got about 15 minutes left. And you know what? One thing I was going to say to you, bud, is what we see going on around the world right now, we got to be proud of. We got to hold our heads up a little bit, because all of a sudden, Canada came out of the sleepy mode that it was in, and you know, even a couple of months ago, I was, you know, I finding myself questioning about, you know, our efforts. We're banging our heads against the wall, literally trying to get people to wake up. We're providing them with hardcore information that they got to go look at. And yet a lot of people were just refusing to wake up. But all of a sudden, we've just seen a mass awakening in society. And it seems to be growing right now at light speed. So I've been more encouraged here in the last week, what I'm seeing going on, than I have been in a couple of years. I'm really, really happy to see the country finally getting it. That, like I said, the window is small, but with the amount of people waking up right now, I just can't see them putting this back in the bag, that we've reached the tipping point and something's got to give. What do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think we have reached a tipping point, and I think more people are aware, and every day more people are aware, because you can only support lies for so long. And when you support lies, you end up spinning more lies around the lies. So that never works, right? Whereas with truth, you don't have to back anything up. You know what the truth is. You don't have to spin stories that get checked to be false later on. The funny thing is, I find so very ironic, is that you got a guy like Joe Rogan right now who's in the spotlight a lot. Now, here's a guy who spent, I don't know, what, 10 or 12 years, whatever, on primetime television, getting people to drink horse sperm for $50,000. But the establishment only has a problem with this guy when he interviews legitimate doctors on the internet. Like, it's just kind of mind-boggling, isn't it?
You're going to say that again, Jürgen, because I've never heard that about Joe Rogan. He's got $50,000 to do what?
Well, when he had his show on, remember that he had that television show, and he had the making people drink horse sperm and stuff like that. And
they ate worms and stuff like that. Whoa. Barry?
We got to stop that talk.
They ate worms and stuff like that. Scorpions.
Oh, that's crazy. Come on, man.
They ate all of that.
I'm puking here right now.
He made that for $50,000.
Hey, Jürgen.
I'm sorry, but I'm trying to make a point here in that the establishment had no problem with him doing that on mainstream television, but they have a problem with him interviewing legitimate doctors like Dr. Robert Malone, who was one of the inventors of the mRNA vaccine.
Exactly. Like, I've listened to that interview.
It's just mind-boggling, the double standard. And how they can take this one guy and all of a sudden, you know, they're against him to the point where they're trying to shut him down. If I'll tell you one thing right now, what I believe, if they shut down Joe Rogan, we're toast. We're done. If they can shut him down, we're finished.
Say, Barry.
Yes, Steve.
That's called fear factor.
Yeah.
Say, Jürgen, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Sure. The political left, the Marxist, one of their favorite heroes, Uncle Joe Stalin, he said, crap, I lost it. Well, he said a lot of things, but he said, if you want to control a movement, start it yourself. Are there any sort of indications that this trucker's convoy is not a grassroots movement?
Not at all. This is definitely a grassroots movement.
I'd say so too.
Not yet, anyways, huh?
Tamara is a personal friend. She started the GoFundMe. I know Tamara on a personal level.
She's a really good lady.
She's an awesome lady.
Yes, she is.
I stand beside her in this fight. I stand beside her. I stand behind her. She's a Métis, true to the cause. She's a family gal. She's a grandmother. And, I'm 100% behind her. No doubt this is legitimate. This is grassroots. This is what we've been waiting for. What wasn't grassroots was the convoy a couple of years ago, United We Roll. It became political because what happened with that convoy is that people like myself, who did a speech on the back of a pickup truck that went viral, got eliminated by that convoy for some reason because I was tied to the Yellow Vest movement that was painted and tarnished with a brush by the media. And so the United We Roll people shunned me as they passed through Medicine Hat when it was my speech that gave a lot of impetus to a lot of those people. So, you know, when it comes to that and people question what this convoy is, we had a really good look at what the bad convoy was a couple of years ago, because it got controlled by political interests and it got sabotaged by people who had no interest in doing what these people are doing today. This one now, this is real. This is grassroots. And this is the kind of people that are running this have said, we don't want any politicians here and we don't want the mainstream media here. So what does that tell you? That has to tell you that these people are on the right side of history. This is where we're at, folks. This is where the battle lines are. The battle lines are being drawn right now. You either support the truckers and the blue-collar truckers, or you support the establishment politicians and media that are going to ram these mandates and these lockdowns down your throat forever. They're going to insist you get jabbed. They're going to insist you get the mark of the beast. They're going to insist that they control your dialogue. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. You either support them or you support the truckers. Make up your mind.
There's no more fence sitting. There's no saying, well, a lot of these people are Christians and I can't. Hey, get off the fence. It doesn't matter if you're Christian, agnostic, Islamic, Jewish, whatever the heck you are. If you're a human being and cares about the plight of other humans, then it's time for you to get off the fence. Make up your mind whether you support the corporate 1% that you've been screaming against, that everybody's been screaming against forever. You're either against them or you're against the people that are on the ground right now fighting them. Make up your mind and stop complaining about a few horns in downtown Ottawa. This is for the greater good of humanity. The silence of one city is nothing compared to the deafening of an entire planet. Sorry. Just had to.
Well, you're going to love you. I love your passion, buddy, but I know it's genuine, it's real, and it's coming from your heart. You know, and I know what the consequences of not stopping this will be in the future. It's something I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. Like I said, I haven't read a lot of books in my life, but I did read the Communist Manifesto, and I digested a lot of it. And we're going page by page, paragraph by paragraph. You could basically cross the T's and dot the I's right now of how that agenda is being played out in our society. And the end game, folks, is not a good place. It's not where I want my grandchildren or your grandchildren to be growing up in. So I know you're dedicated to educating people. It's all we can do at this time. We can't, you know, you can, the old saying that you can leave a horse to water, but I like to say you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them think. Of course, you can't make them drink, but making them think sounds a little bit more appropriate, but it's so true. You know, the information's out there now. There's no excuse, especially I say this to parents that are even considering inoculating their child, that there is so much information out there right now available to you that as a parent, even thinking, like I said, of injecting your child with these poisons, I would say shame on you if you don't go look into the information that is now available. It is there. It doesn't take a lot of digging to go find it. And when you do find it, you would never, ever consider injecting your child with this. That really just pisses me right off that parents are doing this. It really does. You know, you get the excuse. They think they're really thinking they were doing the best thing for the child. I say, bull crap. Go look it up before you stick it in your child. We only got a couple minutes left here, Jurgen, so I'm going to get you to share some last thoughts with you, and I'm going to have to let you go, buddy. Always great having you in. You got a couple minutes. Well, I'm not rushing you.
Well, first of all, let me just thank you for having me on again, Barry. I really appreciate it. I know I'm under attack. I have no microphones on my computers. I have no microphone. And I'm trying. I'm looking everywhere to try to find a microphone for my tablet, for my computer, so I could be on the show proper instead of on the telephone. But however, you know, one thing people should take note of, we've got a prime minister who said in his speech about the truckers and the convoy how they were all racist and misogynist and all of that. But another thing that he said was that he supported people like Black Lives Matter. And when he goes to those protests that he supports, it's all fine. So he's okay with those. Now, just keep in mind, these are the people, Black Lives Matter, who just purchased for $10 million I forget how much it was, but they just purchased a 10,000 square foot mansion in downtown Toronto that formerly served as the headquarters of the Communist Party of Canada. So just so people are aware, I think it was like 8 million, 8.1 or 8, something like that.
Where's their money coming from?
Well, exactly. But the irony is they just bought the former Communist Party of Canada house, right, mansion in downtown Toronto. Black Lives Matter. So they're allowed to have riots, and they're allowed to tear down statues of John A. Macdonald, and our prime minister is okay with that. He didn't say anything about that. He doesn't say that, oh my goodness, these people are tearing up the railroad tracks. When we had a summer long of people that were threatening the CN rails, they were tearing up tracks and all kinds of stuff. He didn't say anything about that. That's all fine. Those protests are allowed. He's okay with all of that. But ordinary blue-collar truckers who have seen family members commit suicide, who have seen family members lose their business. Some of these truckers have lost their trucks. Some of these people are having a hard time making payments on their trucks. But he won't even talk to them.
If that doesn't tell people what's really going on here, then I don't know what else we have to say, Barry. I think people need to reply that it's us versus them. There is an us versus them, and you ain't part of them, so you might as well join us, right?
Amen. Amen. And real quick, folks, Jürgen just talked about one issue with our government. There is so many things wrong that this government has done to this country in the last 5 years that it would take Jürgen and me 3 or 4 hours to go through all of them with you right now. That's how benign and evil these people are. Jürgen, I've got to thank you for coming in, and I look forward to my next conversation with you, my friend, and hopefully that'll be real soon. Thanks for coming in again.
All right, Barry, thanks again for having me, and all the best to your audience. God bless you all.
Thank you, Jürgen. Well, that's a wrap, folks. I've really enjoyed being here with you guys today. The guests and some of the things we talked about, I hope you all take a little bit away from this conversation today that, like we've said many times during the course of this last 3 hours, that we are in a pinnacle time right now in human history, and it's our absolute duty. And I couldn't say that more emphatically. It's not something that you should do or you might do, but it's your duty as a citizen in a free world to get involved in stopping the madness we see unfolding in our governments and our society. We don't have a choice, folks, because the end game is not pretty, and I would never want to see us go there. We're going to do everything we can to stop it. Please help us every way you can. I'll be back next week, same time, same place. Thanks a lot for joining me. God bless you all. Have a great week. Bye for now.